Blog Talk Radio.
More Steel Records.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, death into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin if you're ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter it, miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love life loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes counting spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the gospel on that, turn us out, untainted. It. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, every Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, virtue approved. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Stop to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Wild parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
All right, welcome to GQ Palace. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode. Now, last weekend, like I was stating, I don't know if y'all heard me or not, but last weekend we had a spectacular show. We had Crystal with the GQ General Question, who let us know what was going on with her. She had 7 kids. 4 baby fathers. She was overweight. She did not believe in Jesus. She didn't love herself. But she did. She was very independent. So we gave her some good advice. So tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. Now, if you want to hear this story about Crystal, you can also go into the archives. Go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q Q-U-E, Alex. Check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We have Darling Lewis with the GQ General Question. We have up-and-coming artist Swagger Man. And we're going to be playing his smashing single that's hitting hard, Swagger Dance. This joint is fire. Believe it when I tell you it's fire. After Swagger Man, we have DJ Rich Boy in the building. And we're going to find out what's his next step in the music industry as a DJ. Then for our last segment, we have our special guest appearance, Terrence Kaheem. And we're going to be talking about his novel, Guilty by Reason of Arrest. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Darling Lewis and her GQ General Quest. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
Honey, honey, I can see the stars all the way from here. Can't you see the glow on the window pane? I can feel the sun whenever you're near. Every time you touch me, I just melt away.
No!
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Darlene Lewis. Darlene, welcome to the show. Darlene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Wow, I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I thought it was an honor to actually be a guest sometimes because I'm always interviewing other people. So finally someone's interviewing me for a change so I can sit back and brag a little bit.
All right. And we definitely going to let you do that because you got a lot of things going on. You have a novel and everything, right?
To be honest, I have 7 books out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I want you to let the audience know a little something about yourself. Let them know about your novels and everything.
Well, first of all, like I said, I'm a writer, producer. You know, I started out being like the first female producer host of any music video hip hop talk show, like in '85. I saw Ralph McDaniels on Video Music Box, and I was doing videos, so I always wanted to do that because most of my friends were legends of hip-hop, and I was not seeing hip-hop on, like, some of the other cable stations, so I started doing that, and lo and behold, I started writing songs and being in the studio with Donald D., who produced Malaira and SWV and B-Fast, blah, blah, blah. And then that led me to get a production deal with Jean Griffin, who had Guy at the time. And then I was in a singing group with Strafe. Remember Strafe, who did Set It Off?
Oh, okay.
Right, I was in a singing group called Yum Yum with Peaches. She was Mitch Green's girlfriend. Anyway, we decided to go our separate ways, but I stayed with the TV thing. Then I wound up getting on Broadway TV show and then setting up TV shows at City College. And one thing led to another. I started doing parties and writing songs with the Get Fresh crew for Miss Jones. And then I got out of the music industry altogether and raised my twins. But then I always wanted to do TV again. So I got back out there and got a TV show called Celebrity Showcase, which now I've had since 2003, 2004 on MNN, and it's on Fios and RNC and Cable. It is every Wednesday at 6:30. And that promotes the legends of hip-hop and also small businesses and innovative individuals and authors. I now also host Thursdays, 6:30 to 7, a Blog Talk radio show called Hear No Evil, where I allow individuals to promote their products, goods, and services, and I interview legends and innovative individuals. And I'm also designing websites, and I design apps. So I created an app that highlights Black inventors, and I did that because a lot of individuals, Black, White, Hispanic, Yellow, Blue, Purple, whatever, use products that Black people created and are not aware of the contributions that Black people made to this nation and overseas. So the Black Inventions app is available at my site, futurenetworkproductions.com. And so basically, you know, I've been promoting that and promoting my books. I created an app for my books and an app for my radio show. And basically, you know, my slogan is high tech and high heels, basically to change the outlook on women and perception of women, especially women of color, because we always get such negative publicity. And I just wanted people to see that independent women, you know, can be independent. Black people can be independent and go back to owning their own products and services and networking with the same people, because we tend to think that ownership is a lot of work, but nothing easy, you know, goes without without perils and problems. So, you know, we have to change the mindset of how our brands are promoted, and so that's basically what I've been doing. So given the venue of what you're doing and the ability to promote my products, goods, and services, and at the same time change that mindset of how people think and perceive women and black people in general is my mission. I also have three public service announcements that I utilize the Legends of Hip Hop from the Zulu Nation and the Crash Crew to promote anti-violence. And so we're running that. So we, you know, anybody that want to air it, they can. They can, you know, reach at me at 646-548-9501 or send me their email address at info@futurenetworkproductions.com, and I will gladly email them the commercials to run on their websites or their TV shows, because we have to do something about this violence. And I'm on a mission to change the mindset of the sagging. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling it.
I don't care.
We got you on the wrong segment. We're supposed to have you on a special guest segment.
No, I want people to call in and talk about this, because this sagging thing has gone too far. So in my book, Don't Be Stupid, which is available, you can always Google Darlene Lewis. I'm at Amazon.com. I'm on Lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And you could click in my name, and all seven of my books come up, and Hip Hop Before the Bling is the one everybody knows about. But the Don't Be Stupid book is the one that I really highlight. It's called Don't Be Stupid, Advice for Young People and a Few Old Fools. And basically, I talk about survival skills, how to stay out the strip club, how to stay out of prison, how to stop being a gang member, because I was a problem child, and problem children only listen to people that's been there. And so I'm on this mission to change the mindset of our youth and how they appear, because I know that before you walk in any area, whether you're doing business, whether you're playing, it's all about presentation. And if you're walking around with your booty cheeks over your waistline of your pants, no one is going to take you seriously, you know. And at some point, people have to wake up and say, okay, they're called underwear for a reason. You wear them under your clothing. You know what I mean? So basically, that's the question I want to send out there to your listeners. What's your feedback on sagging? A lot of people think it's cool. I know it's jail attire coming to the street, and we got to stop it. It's going too far. The men have to come back home and raise their sons. That's just all I'm saying.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Because, and to me, a lot of people say Lil Wayne has started the sagging thing going on, you know.
No.
The pants were sagging. But to me, I think it's also a jail thing, me personally.
It is.
You know, and that's what I tell my son as well as, you know, pull your pants up. But then you got these grown men out here doing it.
Pitiful.
Understand? Pitiful. You're a grown man, and you walk in with your pants hanging down. I get like real disgusted when I see something like that.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of people are even afraid. Like, if when girls stop talking to guys with their pants sagging, that's when guys will stop doing it. Females have to do it, because the men are not respecting themselves. And a lot of these guys that are sagging, 9 times out of 10, they don't have male figures in their lives. They don't have men in their homes. They don't have teachers that care, that say, listen. And then, like you said, grown men that do that are either promoting a gay lifestyle, or they're trying to attract younger girls who they think like guys that sag. So it's a mental illness that has permeated the society, and it needs to cease and desist. Personally, I feel that people that sag are indecently exposing themselves and should receive a summons. I personally feel like that. A lot of my colleagues say that I'm wrong and I'm old-fashioned. I'm from the school where guys wore gaiters. You know what I mean? The fly guys wore gaiters. They weren't showing their underwear. They think because they have a designer belt on or some designer underwear that makes it cool. No, that makes them stupid.
Exactly. Exactly. We actually have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring them on real fast. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, everybody, my lines is flooded. Everybody that's on the line, if you want to join in on Darlene Lewis' topic, press 1 to go on the air and give your point of view on the topic. If you're on your PC, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air as well. You can stay on the line and hear the show. All right? That's our first caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
You, hello.
How is everyone?
All right.
Can you guys
hear
me? Yes, I hear you. Okay.
Yes,
how are you, darling?
I'm okay. Who am I speaking with?
This is Carmella.
Your name's Carmella?
Yes.
Hi, Carmella. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks. My thought on that, I think it's disgusting. The sagging, and you know, I don't know if anyone has really ever thought about it, what it spells backwards.
Nigger.
You know.
That's exactly what it is, nigger.
Exactly. But you know, nowadays, because of these young girls that call themselves gay or whatever, they are going out with it as well. I see a lot of it here, right here in my little, you know, town and everything. They're wearing the boxers. And I just think it's so disgusting because, I mean, nobody wants to walk around and see that. I know I don't. And I have a son, you know, and like I told him back in the day, listen, you're not going to walk around with me or around me with your pants hanging off your butt,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then... what, somebody get after you? Can't even run because you barely can walk. I don't know if they think the walk is sexy or what, but I just think it's nasty.
Where are you calling from?
Jersey.
Oh, okay, because I hear it like a southern drawl. Are you near Pennsylvania?
No, actually, I'm from West Virginia, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I reside in Virginia also, and New York. So
well,
I know
okay.
I heard that southern drawl down there.
It's a lot of men out here that really don't.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you calling.
That's me, the southern accent.
Yeah. Now, the host was just made a statement. I didn't hear you said a lot of men what?
And that's what a lot of men don't. I think a lot of men have still got that adolescent age, you know, because if you're a grown man. You know to pull your pants up. I'm pretty sure back then, as old as you are, your mother always said, pull your pants up.
Listen, at 5 years old, you understand the process of a belt. So,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that age is so, it's like either you're trying to attract attention or you're trying to be rebellious. And all it is doing is alienating them from dealing with survival because at the end of the day, when you come outside, it's all about your destination. If your destination is to sit on a stoop, right, and your pants is down to your knees, your underwear is touching the dirt, you're bringing bacteria to yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're bringing bacteria to the home, what person wants to live with somebody that is full of germs? Like, really? So
right.
It's just, it's so ignorant. And so confusing to me that this happened. I remember when sagging, females used to sag, like showing their thongs, like after Britney Spears started wearing like the hip huggers or, you know, the low-rise pants and girls started dressing, you know, with the thongs showing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that is crazy. I'm like, are you serious? Between that and the tattoos, I just don't know. I just feel like I'm an alien, like I'm from another planet. Everybody is marked by the beast. Like, it's really crazy. And it's a fad. It's to the point now where you see, like you said, Lil Wayne. Like, it's bad enough you're sitting around drinking, you're doing drugs, okay? Though, because most of these guys are sagging, they have a street mentality. So let's keep it real. They have a street mentality. Now, a lot of these young kids are sagging because they're following what they see.
Exactly.
They don't have no role models
mm-hmm.
telling them because you could be a strong parent, mother and father, but as soon as they leave your house, they are sagging.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And, you know, I've actually seen that. I've actually seen that. That done. is with their parent, and then all of a sudden, they drop they pull their pants down. I'm like, you know what? And it's coming to the point now, it's below the butt cheeks and everything. At least you had a point where, you know, you had the little crack tails. Nobody wanted to see that. But now you got it to where it's below the butt cheeks, and it even comes to the point where the females that, you know, I'm going to have to say dykes, they even doing it now with the females.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what could you actually do to stop it? That's the thing. What could actually be done to actually stop it?
Summonses. Special patrolmen need to be able to write summonses to individuals that sag. I've started a petition already. I started a petition on change.org. I did because I like your sound effects. But anyway, you know, what can we do? The only thing we can do is really educate them. Parents have to just be a little bit more stern with their men and women in their homes and teach them the value of respect, self-pride. Mm-hmm. And that's why I created that Black Inventures app, because people have lost confidence in themselves. And they really are accepting the status quo of the ignorant person. And we have to change that mindset and put people back on the intellectual role, because, to be honest, Black and Hispanic kids set the standards for how the world dresses, what they listen to, how they act. So we need to change the mindset. And maybe if we change the mindset, then things will change in society. But until then, if we keep on telling people that they have rights, that they have the right to do this and that, then we're going to lose standards. And that's part of society and civilians and living as a citizen. You have to set standards, or else we're just going to have the OK Corral all over the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You also got to think about these parents, especially like the younger generation of junior high, middle school, high school, the kids that don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these parents are going to have to find the kids, four or five fives is too big. Not a good look.
Mm.
Not a good
mm-hmm.
look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to look at the parents sometimes, too. Like, where is your mindset? Why are you buying this kid? He wears a size 30, but you'd have bought him a 38.
But see, you got kids that still, even though no matter the size that you get them, you understand, they still can have the pants sagging.
Mm-hmm. Because they want to fit in until something else comes along. Like right now, the skinny jeans, which I wore, like when I was a kid, you know, straight leg jeans. Now the guys are sagging the straight legs. So now not only are they
mm-hmm.
tight,
exactly,
testicles, but they're showing their butts too. It's like, are you serious? Like, like, are you serious? But it's up to the parents to set the standards of how to be. If parents are not going to put their foot down and become
mm-hmm.
parents and not worry about what the government agency is telling them that they can't do with their child, because there was no ACS, ECW, GD, and all of this stuff when I was growing up. Like, you got slapped in your face from your neighbor, and then when
uh-huh.
your came home, you got slapped again. Okay?
Exactly.
So it wasn't about, you know, being afraid to chastise your kids. Parents also are younger now, so they are trying to identify with their kids. No, you can't be your kid's friend. They have friends. You have
True
to
that.
Be friendly, but you don't have to be their friend. There is that's why they call it parents. Okay, you have to, there
mm-hmm.
should be a license to be a parent, you know, because just because you have sex and put out a baby don't make you a parent, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's what a lot
and
of them
if the kids don't have that type of leadership and role models, because a lot of kids nowadays are coming out of foster care, then we need to start making these agencies, that these social agencies that's responsible for these kids' attire, have standards of how these kids should dress, how they need to be presented in the workforce, because at the end of the day, these kids are going to one day be family providers. And if they're not prepared for the workplace, and the workplace is not tolerating a million tattoos, earrings in your nose, your ears, your butt, your nips, and your
stomach,
and sagging pants. The real world's not consistent of that, and too many of them thinking that they're going to become famous rappers and athletes. And even then, when you go in those corporate meetings, these guys are in suits. Don't let these TV shows fool you. You know what I mean? So,
great.
That's my opinion. Who am I?
Listen, my lines is flooded. If you want to join in on a topic, all you have to do is press 1 to give your point of view. Now, my thing is, a lot of people like Carmella said, you know, it's the parents. But see, I think the parent only plays a little bit part of that. It's society as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like Darlene said, once the kids leave out of the house, there's no telling where they're going or what they're doing. Look at the Biggie Smalls movie. Remember when he was with his mother? He went up to the roof and changed his clothes and doing his jewelry and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, his mother thought he was going out the way he was dressed, which he really wasn't.
But you see what you just said? His mother. Where was the father?
That's a good point.
Where are
too.
The uncles? Where are the aunts? Where's the grandparents? Where's the family structure?
Yeah.
It did not take one person. We are not asexual. You know what I'm saying? It takes a seed and an egg to make a child. So that's for, therefore, the family has to raise the child. Too many of our black men, Hispanic men, are coming up in homes ran by women. A woman can only nurture a man, but she cannot teach a man how to be a man. I'm sorry. It doesn't work.
You know what? A lot of females actually believe that it is possible for a single mother to raise a child, raise a man. And you're actually the first woman that I actually heard really say that, to a point where a female cannot raise a male son by themselves. They need a male in their life.
I'm not saying that they can't do it, but it is not natural.
But it's two parts. Yes, it's two parts that have to be played in that.
Exactly. Not only that, a man is needed to raise a woman with a woman. Because how is a young girl going to know how to be with a man unless she sees a man in her home, in her life? You can't go by what your mother says a man should be, because your mother's perception of a man may be 30% when you got another 70% of information that you're not missing, that you're missing out on. Just like a woman, yeah, there are single women out here, and I praise them, okay? I raised twins, okay, a boy and a girl. Although their father and I broke up, he's still in their lives. His family is still in their lives. I could not be with a man that was a deadbeat. I don't even understand that concept. My mother and my father broke up, but my father was still in my life. So the chain, the cycle can exist with families growing up. Just because a man is not in your home does not mean a man should not be in your children's lives. You understand what I'm saying? And if he's retarded or he's mentally ill or a criminal, then I understand why he's not around. But then you have other role models like your aunts, uncles, your brothers, your grandfathers. It takes a village. You got to raise your kids. Like, what happened to the family structure? What about the teacher? You know, there's all type of things out here for men and women to get involved in. So when people say, oh, I don't need a man in my life, you're doing a disservice to a child. You're doing a child is going to feel incomplete, and you're only going to get half the information. No, a woman cannot teach a man what happens to his body when he wakes up in the morning. She can only tell him what it will be, but she can't tell him how he's going to feel. You understand what I'm saying? Just like a woman can't, a man can't tell a young girl why she's feeling emotional the way she is and why her body is producing the way it is, because he can only know that she needs napkins, you know, every 30 days, but he won't never understand what a woman goes through.
with us. She has her cycle. You understand what I'm saying? So when people say, oh, I can do this alone, it's not fair. It's to me, you just, it's a recipe for disaster because the child is only getting half the battle. Now, I praise all women that raise men without no help. Like, do you? But you're under a lot of stress that you don't need to be under. And you choose that. I think that when people lay down with the person that they're laying down with, they need to think about the possibilities of them having another person in their life. Too many times people lay down for sexual desires, and that thing, they're not thinking about reproduction. That's why I believe in safe sex. Until you are 100% sure that this is the person that you want. Because anytime you look at someone, you have to say to yourself, how are they going to be as a parent? You know, it's not just about the feel-good moment, but too many people are living for a sensation, and that's why society is going through what it's going through, because there's nobody thinking. Everybody's living below the belt. Everybody living for a sensation. You understand what I'm saying? And it's really retarded. And that's the main reason why I wrote Don't Be Stupid, because after you be on this earth for a period of time, you have to be able to tell people, listen, I know what you're going to go through, but here's some shortcuts along the way so that you don't fall in the pitfall, because that's what's going to happen when people don't have that guidance, you know, have problems.
That's why you got so many babies having babies nowadays. And they ain't ready for these kids, you know, 13, 14 years old, and you having a baby? Come on.
Well, we have a couple of callers. I'm going to start bringing them on. We have another caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, this is Kia.
Well, hello, Kia, and how are you
doing? Hey, Kia. Hi, I'm going back to the local bad cold the last 3 weeks, but I'm better now today. Much better.
Okay, I hear it. All right, go on with your bad self.
I know,
so much better. Yes, darling Lewis on the line. All right, darling, you know, take it away. It's all on you.
Oh, hi. Well, we were having a discussion about sagging, but then it went off into a whole nother tangent, which is, I mean, we just got busy, you know. Basically, we were just talking about sagging and how you feel about sagging. Do you feel that sagging should be something that's tolerated in society, or should it be people should live and let live?
Well, I don't think it should be tolerated. You know what, these guys, it depends on the guys, because, you know, you have cousins who you see sagging, but let me tell you one thing about the guys in my family that sag. When they see somebody, it's up on the pants up. It's up on the pants up. So it's a reflection of where they're at. So if they come around their family members or peers, you don't see them sagging. You can see them sagging in the streets. Let them come to a family function. You'll see them sagging in church, but they sagging outside. It's just a phase that they're going through. If they want to look like a fool, then they're going to look like a fool.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe that sagging pants warrants a violation if the pants are below the buttocks?
We're going to start getting money for that now?
Listen, sometimes that money can go to education.
Yeah, but it can go, but some of these guys that's doing it, they're not, you know, like I said, they're not stupid or dumb. They know what they're doing. You know, you got, it depends. I'm telling you, it depends on the type of guys that, of course, the ones that's not doing nothing and everything, but you got guys that just doing it because of that. For the reason of it. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Like I said, my nephew is big. Let me tell you one thing about him. Huh. Let him come around and see somebody. You see how quick he pulls his pants up. I mean, he's laughing. Like, look at this. Look at this. He pulled it up. As soon as you see one of my brothers, see my uncles, he starts pulling his pants up. Any one of my cousins, they start pulling their pants up. It's like, look at them. Look at them. They start straightening their stuff up.
That's what I mean. It's a part of society as well when you really think about it, too. That plays a big part of it. You understand? Where it comes down to the them having their pants sagging and everything. And where they say relatives, they want to pull them up. So that's why I think society also has a big part of it. We have another caller. I just want to bring them on real fast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I
agree with you with that society thing. That's what it's just these guys. It depends on a lot of these guys. They know. They just out here for fun, whatever. But let them come around some elderly family members. You won't see no pants down at a whole family function and stuff. we just, my grandfather's sister passed, so he buried her yesterday with the funeral and everything. My cousins, the ones that be tagging, you just seen them in their suits. We like to look at them. We all took pictures, and they were like, oh, this, no, this is the best guy y'all look on Sunday and whatever. This little front y'all be putting on out there, please. You're staying pantsuit and ties and stuff at this, at family gathering, at family function. They ain't wearing no jeans and sagging, but yeah, they be doing it around their friends, but not around the family.
Okay, Darlene. Okay, we have another call on the line. You can take it away. Kia sounds like she ready to break some. She about to.
I know.
She's about to have everybody dressing in dress pants in a minute.
You best believe I do. You best believe around my family, you ain't coming with no jeans and sneakers. We don't do that at family functions. You're dead instead of 5 pairs of shoes.
Exactly, because the thing is, it's not just the germ factor that they're, you know, allowing the outside elements to get on their body and then coming in your home, sitting on your furniture, on my leather couch with your underwear full of cement and ants and manure. But then sometimes they have feces, you know, skid marks. Listen, I travel a lot, and I'm telling you, some of these guys in Brooklyn and the Bronx, oh, man, they're on the stoops. Then they're out there days with the same outfits on, and they're sagging. Disgusting. So I personally feel that they should be summoned, because anytime you over 5 years old, you know that you need a belt, and you know your waist is above your pelt. You know, your pelvic area, that's basically where your belt's supposed to be. Not under your doggone buttocks. Come on now. That's too much, you know. And then the females are doing the same thing, so they're no better than the guys. You're not getting nowhere in life if you're not presented properly. I don't care what you do. I don't care what industry you go in. There is a certain thing called first impressions. Those are everlasting. Unless you plan on being a thug forever, then do you, boo-boo. But in my world and in the people I know, the sagging is a big no-no. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these Japanese kids, Mexican kids, are picking up
style,
and they have a whole nother agenda for why they're doing it, and they don't understand that the reason why people started sagging in the beginning was when rappers like 50 Cent got into the music industry. A lot of them came from jail, and in jail, they take your shoestrings and they take your belt, and in jail, when your pants sag, that means you're somebody's bitch. That's where that came from. A lot of people are not made. That is what sagging is from. Okay? And so the reason why they was taking people's belts is because the older dudes that was left in the penitentiary was raping a lot of these boys, and they would take their belts and hang themselves. So that's why the belts came off of the suits. If you notice, if you ever go or see any prison movies, or you go to visit anybody in the penitentiary, they have no shoestrings and they have no belts. You don't have to tag.
If I could just chime in with you guys for a minute. Now, I heard the topic, and I agree. I think that it is very disgusting. I really do. I think it's disgusting. And one of you guys just mentioned that, you know, when you go into jail, you know, they take your shoelaces, your belts and stuff like that. And I work at a psych hospital. And in a psych hospital, they take away your belt, take away your shoelace. They take away all that stuff. But what they give you is this type of string.
Mm-hmm.
And the string that they give you, it's very, very thin. It looks like yarn, but it's actually like flexible string that they give you. And they literally only give you enough that's going to go through your shoe, go through each hoop, and then you can tie it. That's all it is, you know. But we have the female. I work with females that do the same exact thing. You don't know how disgusting it is to see a female. I'm talking over 200 pounds. A pair of men boxers and pants sagging underneath her butt. You can't tell her that she's not. I completely agree. And we have to say all day, pull your pants up, pull your pants up. What? You don't like this? No, we don't like this. You don't like seeing your nasty behind all day long. Like, come on. And then you know
the fun. That's much information for us to be seeing.
Exactly. Yeah. But when you look, the real part about it is, you know the front of the boxer where there's supposed to be a button, okay?
It's open.
Yes, and there's no button.
Oh, my God.
So imagine what we're seeing all day long.
You're seeing two big hairs. You're seeing sanitary napkins.
Yes. I asked one of them one day. I said, okay, so when you get your menzies, how you put your pad on? Because you can't wear a pad with boxers.
Exactly.
Where's your support at?
Exactly.
She gonna tell me she own one pair of underwear.
Wow.
So you wear one pair of underwear, so you might get your menzies for 7 days and you got one pair of underwear.
Exactly. You're right.
When I tell you, it's just nasty. It's just nasty.
It's the same.
To me, it's disgusting.
It's the same way these girls wear these little short skirts and they can't bend over to pick something up. And my family, they said, my great aunt and them say, don't nobody want to see your biscuit.
Exactly.
My cousin, you can't go nowhere because my cousin came to church and I guess her outfit wasn't whatever. My great told her, took her all the way back home and told her how to dress for church. She got offended or whatever, and she got the chewing lip out of her. She just don't migrate out some play. Don't nobody need to see your biscuit. So no one needs to see your biscuit.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a go blind thinking about some stuff like that. How you going to hit the number? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Lord, I'm going blind. I'm not going to be able to hit a number. But listen, ladies, you know, in my book, I hate to keep throwing back to my book, also mentioned that there's a way that you could talk to these people so that they understand that you're not belittling them, because sometimes that's an act of defiance. Like, a lot of them have low self-esteem anyway, and so they feel that, you know, they're getting back at people, you know, by doing the opposite of what society says. But there's a way that, you know, I call it verbal judo, that you can hit them over the head with knowledge once they understand where something is coming from and the origin of it, and then that will sometimes influence them to do the opposite. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of time these people don't know. They're basically doing it as a fad. Because I see kids from my Catholic school, when they come out of Catholic school, they're sagging because they want to fit in. They don't want the hood, you know, dudes to think that they're like these bookworms, so they start sagging. Just like when we were younger going to Catholic school, we would roll our skirts up. You know what I mean? And you could tell when your skirt is up because the front would be down and the back would be up. And the Catholic school girls is the hottest, you know, they the freshest chicks. You know, you always think, oh, these good Catholic school girls. No, they was the nastiest girls. You know what I mean?
Not anybody. Not everybody. I got to speak, not everybody. Can't think about perfect Colleen. A little perfect Colleen.
You know the girls was rolling first. So. And then they started
putting
shorts
in the skirt. Was a little hot. Catholic girls was a little hot back then.
Please.
I don't agree. Let me tell you something. Some of these kids know. Some of them, they know what they're doing. Believe me. My nephews know what they're doing. Because you can see, like I said, they got common sense. They know this is right from wrong and that this is wrong, and they not following. So they just doing it because they want to do it. But look how quick they turn, and look how quick they look on Sunday. Please.
But there has to be more role models in the homes, in the families, reaching out and not afraid to talk to these guys and these girls. And tell them, you know, listen, society is not going to accept you. You're not going to make no money. You're going to be starving if you don't change the way you look, at least to fit a certain standard if you plan on being a part of society. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you plan on just being a thug and homeless, you know, then do you. That's all I'm saying. But at the end of the day, somebody has to sell those clothes to them. And if they don't have the money to buy them, then they won't be able to sag. But if the parents still spend money on the clothes for them, they need to spend money on clothes that fit.
I know the topic is about, go ahead.
Just hold on for 1 minute. We have another caller. I want to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Tula. Maybe it's Tula. Two Love Farms don't have the same key.
Hello? Yes, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Caller, are you there?
Don't let the dog.
Rachel? I believe that's Rachel that's supposed to be on the line. Hello, Rachel? All right, well, go on. Let's continue with the pants sagging. I guess Rachel will come back when she's ready.
I know the question is about, you know, the pants sagging. But what do you guys think about the half-naked women that's in all these music videos with their butt cheeks hanging out? Do you think they should get a violation also? You know, or do we think that because in society nowadays, you know, sex is selling, so it's acceptable. So now you got little kids that's doing the same exact thing, but they're not getting paid for it. What do you guys think about that?
Well,
I
used to be a video hoochie. It's a different time now. But when we were doing videos, we were paid to wear certain outfits, and it wasn't as revealing. And those that did do the X-rated stuff got paid a lot of money. Fast forward to the future, a lot of these chicks are not getting any money, and they're doing it because they want to be a groupie or they want to be seen. Sometimes they have low self-esteem. Some of them are strippers, and because the record companies feel that it's cheaper to get a stripper than to pay for a model at a model agency, you have the promotion of strippers in a lot of these music videos. So a lot of this has a lot to do with women not in control of the budget. Not a lot of women that are behind the scenes making decisions. And a lot of these artists are so desperate for a deal, they're not paying attention, and they're just doing what they see, what they think. So until the artist decides that this is not what they want to promote, but for some reason, trap music, stripper music is the thing now. A lot of these southern rappers is promoting that type of music, and so that's what's selling right now. But even the guys going to the strip clubs, like, a lot of these guys are spending exorbitant amounts of money in clubs on alcohol and living for sex. Like I said, we're living in a sexual society, and it's all a part of maturity. But when you have self-esteem, some people think, you know, showing their body is the thing. You know, that's why I have this model called High Tech and High Heels, where I tell women, you know, we're beautiful, we're God's creatures, but we should be worshipped more than what we look like, what our body can do. We have a brain, and nobody's doing anything to promote how smart you are and how thoughtful you are. That's why I created the Black Inventors app, because I want people to know that we're not just about what we do in the bedroom. You know, we are beyond that.
All right. I want to bring in two more people, okay? Hello, callers, are you there?
Yeah.
Right here.
Okay, yes, we have Rachel and Steph on the line. All right, Darlene, it's on you. Take it away.
Oh, what am I, the host tonight?
That's how it goes on General Questions. On General Questions, the host, is it just topic? You the host for the evening. So I'm going to sit back, relax, and let you take over.
Is there a caller on the air? Please state your name.
Dallas, baby, Dallas.
Dallas, Darlene, and this is the GQ family.
Dallas. That's
right. Dallas, well, tonight's topic.
You have two people on, by the way, Rachel. I mean, Darlene, you got two people on.
Oh, wait, Dallas and who?
Yeah, I brought somebody else on.
Rachel, this is Rachel.
Okay, hi, Rachel. Hi everybody. Tonight.
Hi.
Hey.
The question is whether or not wearing sagging pants warrants a violation. What's your take on that?
Sagging pants warrant a violation? That's what little boys do that. Boys do that. How about, let's get a violation for the big women that be wearing half dressed with like a can of half-open biscuits. Let's talk about that. Yeah, you don't have, let's have a
sagging right now.
Too.
So what's your take on sagging?
Women walking around, big women walking around, half naked, look like a can of half open biscuits.
Don't you hate
the biscuit violation? That's from the South. You know biscuit, because that's exactly what they say in the South. That's what they say in the South, biscuit.
You don't know, care the biscuits and the biscuits just be busting out the side of the thing? That's what we're like.
So, violation. Women that do that are seeking attention.
All right, and men that do that are doing what now? Work with me.
There's two things that they seeking.
Now it's two things. It ain't different because it's a woman.
Because it's a different mindset. When a woman is exposing her body, I don't care what size she is. If you're exposing your body, you either a cheap whore or you an exhibitionist. Okay.
Ooh, wow.
And if, when a man,
bam.
When a man, keeping it real with you. I mean, just because I'm involved with a lot of things, you know, I've been around a long time. And I know a brawler, a player, and a hoe. And I'm going to tell you, anytime you're exposing your goodies for free,
but
what if she just a sign of low self-esteem. Because I'm going to tell you
something. What if she just thinks she looks good and she just bought her stuff? She doesn't have to be an exhibitionist or a whore.
See, I'm going
to
tell you something. Monique, the lady that used to host the Apollo, she has made big girls think that it is okay to expose your flesh. The man is not going to take you home to mama dressing like that. So if you want to attract a certain element,
no. When he takes
you
home,
I'm going to tell you what I know.
A woman is not about what her body is.
That is not what we are about.
Now you're speaking for all women.
I'm just saying that put it this way. Your grandmother ever said, "Why buy the milk when the cow is free?"
Okay, but listen. If I bring you home to mama, you first of all, if I bring you home to mama, 9 times out of 10, you ain't gonna come just to see my mama like that anyway. Why would you go see my mama with your goodies hanging out? You wouldn't do that.
Right, but why would a man want to be associated with a woman that's exposing themselves, unless he's a pimp.
If my woman looks good, that's going to attract an element.
That's going to attract an element. Either you a pimp and you want to make some money off this woman, or you feel the need to get attention, so you're going to do it by any means necessary. Because
why she just
nothing,
why, but why she just can't
you
say
look.
She look good. Why she just
but
can't
you know
do it? Because she knows she looks good.
There are people that like looking at a whole bunch of biscuits. There are people out here like biscuits.
You don't want to hear nothing,
butter.
Huh? You don't want to hear nothing, huh? You just don't want to hear nothing.
I just want to talk about the tag, and you done changed it to a whole other topic.
I didn't change it to another topic. I'm just showing you, but just because you look good, you know what I'm saying?
Don't mean you should.
You can walk around, you know, and show a little cleavage, a little thigh or something like that. That's why they sell mini skirts. That's why they sell low cut blouses and stuff. They don't sell them and sit in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can wear it.
That's
but
right.
Everybody do wear it, you know what I'm saying?
Look who's designing those clothes, though.
Who's designing it?
Think about
designers.
Most of the clothing.
Designers.
Right, but think about most of the people that are designing most of the clothes that women try to fit into. Most of these people are gay men. If you look at these clothes that women are trying to squeeze in, they're trying to squeeze in size 10 feet in size 7 shoes made for Italian women. Look at some of these shoes that women are wearing. By the time they get 40, they're not even going to be able to stand up because their toes are all crunched up. They're standing on a pedestal.
Yeah, I see
they look like
idiots.
Like
yeah,
they
ain't nowhere
like
near 40.
Sorry?
I see them with their feet all crunched up like that. They're nowhere near 40. Don't make that an excuse.
No, but I'm saying by the time they get 40, they're not going to be able to stand up.
I see women like that as 20, 25, and 30 with their looking like knuckles.
Oh, you took a that's because they've been wearing plastic shoes from. No, I don't want to say where they
feet look like
endorsement.
Laughing.
But the bottom line is that we need to bring back a standard, a quality.
And when I tell you a standard and a quality of living, it is not because I'm player hating, because I used to be that sick chick before somebody snapped me out of it and said, listen, you're a queen, you're a princess, and this is not, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to back you, and I'm going to let your brain work, and we're going to make money with your brain and not your body, because it don't take nothing for you to, look at Stevie J, for instance, right? He's only relevant because Jocelyn on Love & Hip Hop is exposing
her. Are you basing your thing off a reality show?
No, no, no. Listen, I'm using that as an example. I can use Jay-Z and Beyonce. Anybody that have a woman that's exposing themselves. But
baby, they're acting, baby. They're acting. They're acting. They are acting. 100% acting.
But still, they're acting.
They are acting.
In
do you front think
of camera,
in their right
and
mind that that other
set.
Girl will let
time,
Stevie
time,
do that
time,
dumbass stuff you're doing right there?
I didn't hear you.
I said, in anybody in this 2013, do you think his baby mama, the other one, whatever her name, damn name is, you think she would go for that, him calling her a maid and all the other stuff and all the other crap? No. All this is made for TV. You can't even go on that.
Right, but it's still being promoted, whether it's real or not.
Because that's
used
what
to be
that's
a time
what
when
sells.
The FCC wouldn't
sells.
Even let certain things be like that on TV.
Ratchetness sells, baby. Ratchetness sells.
Like I said, the mindset of the public is accepting the lowest common
no.
denominator of a culture. Until
okay,
you
so
change
what is
the
that?
Mindset.
Okay. Is your mindset like that? Is
I'm
your mindset
sorry,
like that,
what'd you say?
Is your mindset like that?
No, baby. I produce TV. I don't watch TV.
Okay. So how you know what Jocelyn ran if you ain't produced like that, then?
Because I
understand.
Get,
so you
I
must
get
watch
emails
it too,
all the time, and I get
right,
jobs.
Right, so you must watch
edit.
It too.
Can
I get jobs to edit. I get
then
jobs
we get off the
edit.
Topic.
I get jobs to edit, and I'm gonna tell you something. When you're able to turn down a job because you feel like you're gonna throw up, that means that you've matured. Because not any and everybody can sit there and say, oh, I'm gonna put that out. There's a mindset. When people see that the society is accepting that, they're not gonna stop promoting that. Until society says we don't want that, that's what we're gonna see.
Okay,
but back to the
topic.
Back to the topic at hand, you didn't answer the question. The question was the UCL sagging pants warrants a violation.
I don't wear sagging pants, so I don't know.
I'm just saying, if you saw grown men over 18 walking sagging pants with under their buttocks, do you believe that warrants a summons?
I don't believe it. It don't warrant nothing. That's he a grown man. He do whatever he wants. That's the law. He can do whatever he wants. And he bought them pants, he wear them any way he want to wear. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to wear mine right there. You ain't going to tell me how to wear my clothes. You mean to tell me you're going to let somebody tell you how to wear your clothes? In all honesty,
what do you call
sagging.
Indecent exposure?
Huh?
What do you consider indecent exposure?
If you show your penis, your coochie, your tatas.
So,
I mean, some damn underwear is not decent exposure.
Oh, but wait, well, you said tatas, meaning what, the areola or the cleavage? Because
yeah, the areola, areola. Because women wear low-cut blouses and stuff. That's not, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but there's some beaches, and, you know, in public, you can go topless. You know that, right? You can go topless at the restaurant. That's all right. Did you not know that?
Yes, I did know that, baby. I'm not just, you know, a regular dude. I know
all
that
stuff. No, I just asked you, did you know that? Because a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, of course they know. You go to North Reef Beach, right there in Queens.
And Orchard Beach.
Yeah.
And in restaurants, especially if you're breastfeeding.
Of course you can. If you're breastfeeding, you know what I'm saying? But you ain't, well, whoever pulled the titty right on across the table is something different. They got a little blanket or something over there now. That's just
right, but you can go to any pool and go topless, and nobody could say anything to you.
Wow. Is that in the United States?
Yes, right here in New York City, in the Bronx. You can go to a pool without a bra on, without a bathing suit on.
Okay, you can go to a pool without having on a shirt and a bra.
Right.
You can, well, no, because in a pool you have to have a bathing suit, but you can have a sheer
bathing suit on or a mesh bathing suit, and there'd be nothing anybody could say to you. You can go to a certain section in any beach and be topless.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so
you could be topless.
Yes, section one at Orchard Beach.
Yes,
in case you
same thing with Reese Beach, but they have it cornered off. Like they put like a little rope or a little thing because this side is topless, this side is not. You know
what I'm saying? Okay. Well, in Orchard Beach, there's nothing cornered off. It's just section one. Everybody goes to section one and want to be topless. You know, to sunbathe or whatever to get an even tone.
Well.
Mm-hmm. My mom's
enough. Wow, I didn't know that.
But anyway, my books are available at lulu.com/Darlene Lewis, and you can watch my TV show every Wednesday at 6:30 on channels 56, channel on Time Warner Cable, on RCN Cable channel 83, on Fios channel 34, and online at the same time at MNN.org channel lifestyle channel. And I'm on the radio every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio on a show called Hear No Evil. And I have 7 books out. So hopefully you guys will enjoy them and enjoy the show.
You have 7 books out. Wow.
Yes, I have 7. I'm a writing fool. You know, I left the music industry because I didn't like, you know, the direction it was going, and I decided to just write books, and I write blogs, and I have a book out called Hip Hop Before the Bling, another one out called Deadbeat Take Care of Your Kids, where I expose a lot of the females and males in the music industry and sports world that are deadbeats. I also promote how you can get the DNA thing done and teach you about the new laws of child support enforcement, because a lot of people aren't familiar with that. I also give people an opportunity to submit individuals that are missing, whether they're deadbeats or just runaways, and we promote them on our television show, Celebrity Showcase. So it's a few things we're doing. I just created the Black Inventors app. I hope everyone gets an opportunity to download the app, and you will see the great contributions that blacks have made to the world, and maybe that mindset will trigger down and show women and men that we are more than our bodies, that we have brains, and that we can do things with our brains if we put our minds to it. It took me not long to create them because I design websites. I'm a technical person. I'm known as the high tech and high heels. And I've always been the first female to do anything technical. I'm the first female to ever produce any music video, hip-hop talk show a year after Video Music Box. Then 2 years later came video, Rap City on BET, and then MTV Rap. So it was Ralph first, Ralph and VidKid, Ralph McDaniels, and then Darlene Lewis. I had produced a show called Goldie's Hot Raps, First Exposure, and then on Broadway. Now my show, I have a show called Celebrity Showcase. I've written with people. I've produced with people. I was involved with the SWV project. I wrote for Miss Jones. I worked with Barry B of the Get Fresh crew. I sang in a group that Strafe had, Strafe that did that song Set It Off back in the day. I've worked with so many people. And I have songs right now on BMI.com. I did a lot of ghostwriting. And I modeled. I've done it all. And I've managed artists, you know, that was on the New Jack City soundtrack and sang for other people. But now, for the last 8 years, it's been about me. So that's where I'm at with mine.
Bonnie, let me ask you. If somebody walking down the street, let's say you see one of your girlfriend's sons walking down the street. And
I'll
your mom
tell them to pull their pants up.
Okay. Let's say he seems a little disrespectful.
Excuse me?
He's one of those teens that's taught sort of like disrespectful towards his mother and everything. Mm-hmm. You understand? He thinks he's a thug somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So you see him walking down the street, and you ask him to pull his pants up, and he give you a snotty remark. Which way would you go with that? Like, if he'd be like, you know, these ain't your pants, I bought these. And how would you approach that?
I don't have conversations.
No, one more.
I don't have conversations with idiots. I don't even say pull your pants up. I always say, Are you cold? Are you hot? Because I see your pants are down, so you must be hot. Are you cold? Do you not feel the wind blowing? You know, if I know him, I will take him to the side and tell him where that came from. Not only am I a technical person, I'm a law enforcement individual. I'm a ranger, okay? And when I tell you that that attire is related to prison life, it is not because I made that up. It is real. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that knows anything about law enforcement and being behind prison knows that when the men wore their pants under their booties like that, you were somebody's bitch. That's what that meant. Come and get it. So unless you're saying, come get it, that's you, boo-boo. But my thing is that women have to be the one to say, listen, I don't want to talk to you unless you pull your pants up. I don't need to know what your underwears look like. Let me get
I'm pretty sure there's men with that do that, though.
Excuse me?
I'm pretty sure there's millions of women that won't talk to somebody like that. They just won't come out and say, I'm not totally going to be a fan.
But then that's what they get. If you sleep with dogs, you wake with fleas, and that's where it's going. It's according on your standards. If you don't have standards, then you accept anything. A man can't ride you unless you're bending over. So until you put your foot down and say, listen, boo, I like you, but I need you to pull your pants up on your waist, then we have nothing to talk about. We have nothing to talk about. And women have to start saying, you know what, I'm worth more than that. You want to rock with me, then you need to look a certain way. And that's how it was going down. Because if you come to my place of business with your pants out, you're not getting a job. And a lot of these corporations are not hiring people unless you want to be in the mailroom all day. But if you're talking about running and you can't even pull your pants, so let's say something happened, you're running for the bus because you're running late for work, or you're running for the train, your pants are sagging, you're falling down, now you're late for work.
To tell you the truth, honey, I have rarely seen a woman walk around with somebody with their pants hanging down like that. It's always a bunch of dudes walking around like that, so...
Walking around with
your pants hanging down, right? So it's already proven that women don't talk to guys like that. You never see no guy walking around with his pants hanging off his ass, walking around with no damn woman.
Well, I've seen
unless you look like
women.
Him.
You're right. I've never seen women.
Right. You, unless you look like him, a little hood rat.
Exactly.
But you do got these grown men that walk around.
And they ain't walking around with no grown woman. You know what I'm saying? Unless, you know, some people just wear their pants like that. I don't know. I ain't one of them.
Wow, Harold King just sent something to me. Harold King, are you listening? Are you on the air? Okay, he just sent me. Harold King is this intellect that's on Facebook, and he says that the state's highest court established long ago in 1992 that women have the same right as men to appear topless in public. Absent a link to some commercial enterprise or promotion, the women's lack of certain attire in this instance does not appear to be a police matter. The case was 1992, People versus Santarelli and Skloss. The New York Court of Appeals ruled in their favor. Wow. So women can walk around topless. Well, there goes my bra.
I'm keeping mine on.
He should have a right to do that. Okay. Come on. Because sometimes when I'm working, right, I have a vest on and a bra. My girls is crushed. So by the time I get in, if I'm in the city, I want to relax and relay the release. What's wrong with us? So if guys continue to show their butts, we should be allowed to walk around without our bras on.
Not me.
Well, you're going to be just like they said. Hey, just like they said in the southern stores down there. No shirt, no service.
I don't wear bras, though, because I find them to be very inhibiting. But
I'm keeping my bra on. I
can get away with it.
You're probably small. That's why you didn't go away with it. If you was a bigger man.
You know, I can get away with it because I'm not. Man, like, I'm good. I'm good. I got the, you know, I'm God. God bless me. So I'm good. Like, you know, as long as I don't get cold, you would never know whether or not I had a bra on or not. Because mine's is still pokey. You know what I mean? But some women need support for their back.
Well, I'm going to say, God bless you. I'm going to say, God bless me because I'm still perky, but I couldn't imagine seeing no 40 double D's. Walking around. I don't think that's possible.
Great booger, booger.
Two little baby heads.
I don't know what I would do with all of that.
Two sweater puppies.
I remember when I had my twins and I was able to be like a 36D and I was just wearing tight sweaters. You couldn't tell me nothing. And then 6 months later, after pumping and the breast milk and all of that, I was like, what happened? Back to the 36B and I was like, dang, breast all under my armpits. So if you carrying 40 double D's, oh my, your back.
Water, man.
So you'll definitely need a bra.
You need a bag.
I need an extra support bra, okay?
You need
and
a bra.
They still hurt me, but I don't know what to do after
that. Yeah, you definitely need a woo. You need a woo.
A whole lot of cargo.
They can go ahead. I'm just saying, I haven't seen no B cup since about 2003 or 1992.
Hey, I had my twins, 1992. They'll be 21 this year, and I was couldn't tell me nothing. I had me some breasts. But it's a difference when it's a natural thing. You know, now everybody and their mama, you know, implanting things in their bodies and to get that voluptuosity, and they don't understand the power of the breath. But that's a lot of pressure on your body, I'm quite sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because I had an aunt that when she took her bra off, her knees and her breath was talking. So we was greeting each other at the damn door. I was like, geez, that's too much. God bless her, my aunt Paulie. She's going to kill me. But I'm just saying, her back was always hurting. Oh, my God. But she would take her hair and cover. Like, if she took her bra off, she would part her hair down the middle and take her hair and cover her breast. But you could still see it. I was like, oh, come on, Paulie. That's too much information. Please.
Well, that's family. I still had that situation. Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, oh God, this has really been fun, guys. I thought I was just going to be a guest like for 5 minutes, and we've talked about sagging, breast,
yes.
You know, biscuits.
A little everything. Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of everything, but I love a challenge conversation, and it's good, and I think that we should always have topics and be able to talk and have debates if necessary, because that's healthy, and also to understand that there's no one answer to anything. You know what I mean? It's always about open discussion without anybody being offended. I'm a very opinionated person. That's probably why I have a radio and a TV show on my side, because I like to talk. But I like acting with my talking. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully you guys go get my book. Please support us.
Definitely going to get your book, Dolly.
And where do you get the book from again?
I'm sorry?
Give the information again for your book and everything.
LULU.com/Darlene Lewis. I'm also on Amazon.com as well and BarnesandNoble.com. But LULU.com, their prices are cheaper. And you can also download the book to, like, your iPad, your computer, your iPhone. Or you can have the publisher mail the printed copy paperback to you. Yeah, and yeah. So my company is FutureNetworkProductions.com, and I produce, like I said, two TV shows, a youth-oriented show, and then a show that allows people to promote their products, goods, and services called Celebrity Showcase. I also do a radio show where I allow people to advertise on there, and I design websites. And I have an app where, you know, I'm very proud of my Black Inventures app, because a lot of people are not aware
of the contributions that black people have made to this world. And it is amazing to me that we use these products every day and we don't realize that a black person did it. And for me, I think that's important, you know, because I have an African grandfather and a Native American grandmother, and they always, you know, stereotype, you know, people like, you know, you're this, you're that, you know, you don't have that intellect. And African people here and all over the world have contributed to this society, and we need to bring that back. We need to bring jobs back home, and we need to teach people how to be producers and not consumers, because this is a consumption environment that we're living in.
Oh, wait, I have one more person on the line that want to go on. I guess comment on your question. So hold on for a minute.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, what's good?
What's going on? We have Darlene on the line.
What's up, Darlene? Mayor in the building.
Hey, who's this sexy what's up, voice I'm listening to? I'm a flirt. Let me stop. Who am I speaking
all
with?
All good. It's all good.
Well, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Chris, and I'm calling from Brooklyn.
BK?
Yeah, all day.
That's right. That's Side Door Die or Brownsville?
Flatbush, actually.
Flatbush. Oh, okay. I got people over there. Chris in the palace.
Yeah, so what's the situation that we commented on?
Well, Chris.
I didn't catch what the topic was.
Chris, the topic is sagging.
Yeah.
Do you feel that sagging warrants a violation of receiving a summons? Think about it before you answer it.
Yes and no.
Okay, make up your mind.
Yes. All right, yes.
So if you were a judge, what would you do?
Excuse me?
If you were a judge, what would you do? If a person was
the first one is always free. All right, I give you the benefit of the doubt. If you got that series where you got to come before me as a judge, the first one is always free.
Okay,
but I'm gonna let you know. I don't plan on seeing you no more.
Right,
and if I see you again, we got a problem, because first of all, the scrutiny that you receive outside the justice system, people looking at you sideways. You know what I mean? And like, real talk, like, why are you walking around like that? And if you knew the science of that situation, like, then you wouldn't do that at all.
Now, Chris, you're a man of a certain age. I could tell in your voice. Tell the listening audience where that concept comes from of the sagging.
Well, I just, you know, it, how I got it, you know what I'm saying? For me, it's like it's a jail situation. You know what I mean?
Somebody applaud him, please.
And
because that's
and like don't disrespect to nobody who's in that. You know what I mean? That's in that situation. Because I had people personally that I noticed in that situation. No disrespect to them,
mm-hmm.
But that's supposed to be like a sign of, you know, that you're available or whatever. That you how they say about that life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so to perpetuate that outside of that situation, that says a lot about you. And even if for cats, it's like, you see cats with the crazy, like, skinny jeans on, like, still, like, some joints, like, hanging way off the hip, like, what's the matter with you? You know what I'm saying? But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if you want to perpetuate that style, you feel like you look good in that, and you could deal with the scrutiny of people looking at you sideways, you know what I mean? And hell yeah, now that we're talking about it, we all friendly and whatnot, yeah. They did a warrant, a summons, or something to remind you that that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you take yourself to an extreme level. And they kind of flaunting it in people's faces. You know what it's like? It's kind of like they treat it like kind of like jaywalking, if you know what I'm saying. Everybody jaywalks.
Right.
What? Once in a while, you might hear somebody say, yo, I got back for jaywalking. Like, what? You're like, that's crazy. But for somebody to say, yo, I got a summons because my pants is off. So that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Straight like that. That's your problem. So
exactly.
why it took for an officer of the law to stop what he's doing, whatever the hell he may have been doing, to come see you to tell you how to put how to dress. With your $300 J's on and the Air Dunks on and the Gucci belt and all of that monkey crap. I'm not even going to take it to that level, but it is what it is. And again, I'm a man of a certain age and I don't rock like that.
Right.
And I wouldn't rock like that even if I was that age. Straight like that.
You know, and it's not that we want to bring down our young men and
not
our young women.
Not at all.
We just want to teach them standards of living, because I'm going to tell you something. You guys may not know this, but I'm going to reveal to you my age. I'm 53 years old, okay? A lot of people don't believe me because for whatever reason, my body has not really aged externally. But internally, yeah, I'm old. But what I'm saying is mentally, I've been around 150 years. You know what I'm saying? And when I say that, it's because I was raised in a different time when men were fly and ladies were good and we sat with our
feet together.
And we wore pantyhose even in the summertime and we wore slips and we was and guys whined and dined us. So my attitude has never changed. People say, oh, you a gold digger, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not a gold digger. I dig for gold when I was in my 20s. I'm digging for platinum right now, but mental platinum, not physical, because I can get mine on my own. But I'm not going to be able to walk with a king if his pants is falling down. I need him to be able to run in case we got to catch a cab, in case somebody's chasing us, in case we have some place to be, because you know they say black people are always late. So you're going to be even later if you can't run because your pants is falling down off you. You know what I'm saying? And I don't need to be able to know what type of underwear you have. Just like I don't want you to know what my bra, what color my bra is or what color my underwear or the label of my underwear. I think there's certain things that you have to wait to learn about. I don't need to know that a person is walking around and I'm seeing skid marks. Like, just recently,
What up? Not to cut you off. But I'm a type dude that's kind of like, you know what I mean? I'm a man, so I'm visible. You know what I mean? So if I see cats that's doing their thing and whatever, and they got their pants hanging way crazy like that, that tells me all I need to know about them. So I steer clear of that. So it's like a thing where I don't even, if I see, like you said, it's external, right? If it's on the external tip and I see that that's how you get down, and nobody in my cipher gets down like that.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I include you in what I'm doing, regardless of what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
If that's how you rock it, I see that before I even know your name, bro.
Exactly. And what about going for a job? Nobody wants to see that. You know, even if you have a suit and tie on and then your pants is sagging, come on, dude.
Right.
Are you serious?
Is that where you put your resume? I tell my nephew, I say, yo, check this out, my dude. You know, you get your little government job, whatever, your 9 to 5. They own you from 9 to 5. Between 9 to 5, you on their time. After 5 o'clock, 5:01, spark up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to be able to flip that. And I think that is something that I don't think that these cats, you know, no disrespect to them at all, that they have really adapted to or learned to, and they probably will as they get older. You know what I'm saying?
I just think that more men need to come home and spend time with their sons, with their nephews, with their brothers, like real men. You know, when you look at the old pictures and the old movies, the young guys wore suits. You know, everybody looked good. Even the guys that was in the street, they dressed good. You understand what I'm saying?
Everybody had the button up on the collar.
Yes. AJ Lester's. You know, they was going to the city shoppers. You know what I'm saying? Come on. We're that man there. But I think that when men are not around men or of mankind, they tend to go left. And that's all.
Well, that's apparent, yeah.
You know, it's a part of development. And like I said, a woman, even though she raised a male child alone, does not mean she does not have to have a male influence in that child's life. And I just think that comes from how you're raised. because you you would want to please your parent. You should want to please your grandmother. You should, like one of the callers called in and said, yeah, you know, we on our way to church, or you're not coming around us dressed like that, you know, blah, blah, blah. They know better, like you said, you know. So we have to really, really do something to these guys and tell them, listen, you're being watched, and you set the standards for the world. Everybody's looking at what you're doing, because black men and Hispanic men set the standards for what girls are doing.
And they make it easy for, like, if they try to, you know, like you said, get a, you know, go for a particular job or whatever, they make it easy for them to say no.
You know, unless you're gonna have your own business,
no.
And you know you go and you're not trying to, but you still want to please your customers, because your customers is not gonna want to come around you smelling your butt.
Right.
You know.
And where you gonna get that knowledge? And basically, they got the knowledge, but they just have to apply it to that situation. Because a lot of these cats out here are businessmen. They get their hustle on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They sociologists. They deal with people on an everyday basis. You feel me?
They salesmen.
So, yeah, they're salesmen, definitely. So they got the gift of gab.
Right.
You know what I mean? So basically, they do it in school day, but it's on a street level. And that don't match if you're trying to advance like you want to advance.
I hear something in the background.
I have another caller for you.
Oh, wow.
We dropped the science on a Friday night, man. What's good?
Okay. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
What's good, it's DJ Riz Boy. How y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, what did you say your name was?
DJ Riz Boy.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear over the loud applause. Where you calling from, DJ?
Say that again?
What's your name and where you calling from? This is Darlene.
Oh, hey, this is DJ Rich Boy. I'm calling from Harlem.
Harlem, stand up!
Stand up, represent. No doubt.
I'm from Harlem.
Oh, okay. That's what's
yes.
up.
So, are you a sagger?
No, I'm not.
She's direct to the point. I like that.
No, I just want to know, are you a sagger? Because, you know, Harlem sets this, you know, Harlem is the home of the dress. You know, people from Harlem, you know. They like
yeah,
to look good.
That's true.
Nah,
that's
I'm
true.
Not. I'm definitely not a sagger. I have my own style. I don't follow the lead of everybody else. I have my own way of doing things. So,
do you think that sagging should be illegal?
Yes, it should.
Oh.
It's not something that should be a part of a man's life or any type of, you know, young man, human being, any type of guy. It shouldn't be a part of their life, because that's not a certain way you carry yourself when you go to an interview, anything like that. So it should be illegal.
Wow. You sound like a young man.
Yeah, I am.
So, if you have friends that sag, do you ever say anything to them?
All the time. That's almost every day. So.
Oh, God.
It's something I'm used to. I always have to tell them to pull up their pants. Not just in the streets. You're around certain people that do look at you a certain way. So you have to be respectful of yourself.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Wow. I mean, you sound like a young man who has his head on. And I think that's good. But what about women that sag?
Them too. It don't look proper for them to actually be sagging. That's not a woman like thing.
Exactly.
I don't understand why girls actually get into that way. I mean, you know, you do have your ways of being who you are, but you don't have to follow everybody else to be who you are and still have respect for yourself. So.
Wow, I like that. I like when young people have their heads on tight and you know, that means somebody raised
you know
right.
They are out there. That's the thing about it. You know what I'm saying? I salute the young, you know, the young king for calling up and, you know, representing his style. Like, yo, I don't do that. I'm of that age. I'm in that circle. You know what I mean? I run with cats that do that, but I try to, you know, put them on the game. Like, that's not cool. And you do that in your way. How you build with them? You know what I'm saying? You got to respect that. You know?
Yeah,
but he has this thing on, you know, where he's like, yo, he realized that's not him. You know what I mean? And respect all day to that.
Yeah.
So do you like to read, DJ?
No, not at all. I'm sorry.
I'm not. What?
It's not something I'm into. You know,
so,
I listen to a lot of things. I pay attention.
Did you a DJ?
Yes.
So you DJ, you a musician?
Say that again.
You like music, right?
Yes. Matter of fact, his segment is on after yours. He's coming
on. So you're an artist?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So
get back to what he said. He don't like to read.
No, because I'm gonna hit him with some info in a minute. I know we saw together.
What time
is he going on? At 7:45?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so you don't like to read, but you listen to music. So how are you going to know the history of what you're doing unless you read up on it? How are you going to...
The thing about that is, just I don't like reading. That don't mean I don't know how to read. I am very capable of putting things together, actually knowing what to do. It's just that I don't like reading, so, I mean...
Okay, so you're a DJ... And suppose you get a contract and you can't afford a lawyer, are you going to take the time to read the contract before you sign it?
That's my money. That's part of my life, so I'm definitely going to be able to read it. I don't like
reading.
Now,
what about nonfiction? Not fiction, because I don't really do fiction. Well, even though I wrote fiction, but I really like real stories. Do you like real stories?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a book out called Hip Hop Before the Bling, right? And I would like you to try and preview it for free at lulu.com/DarleneLewis. You can preview, matter of fact, all of my books for free. And I have another book on there called Don't Be Stupid, which is advice for young people. And you sound like a person that would probably be influenced by what took place before you, because you're getting into a business, but you need to learn the history of what you're doing so that you know how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
got talent, it's all around you, Michael. You know, I know you realize that, you know what I'm saying? The word up, she's telling you something right, you know what I mean? And respect you as far, you know, as your music and things like that. You know, always have the business. Like I tell cats, like, you know, the simplest way I can tell them, you know, it's two words, right? It's music and business, right? You see how long that word music is? Business is a longer word. So you always got to stay on top of your business, my dude. I salute you. You know what I mean? And again, like as far as, you know, getting the paperwork and everything like that in order, I know, you know what I'm saying, you got to scrutinize it and you want to take it to that level where you understand every single word, frontwards and backwards, my dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you'll get that. You know what I mean? Because you know, you already got your foot in the game already. So now it's only about to get technical for you and business-wise. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you deal with business because you do gigs or whatever. You got your mixtapes and your music popping. So you're already a businessman.
Yeah, I am.
Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So you're already a businessman. So now you just got to get into the business of your business. Straight like that.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow. So I really like, you know, where this conversation started and how it ended. And, you know, I'm looking forward to networking with you guys in the future. You know, we have to network and support each other because that's the only way the word is going to get out when television and radio people come together, because a lot of people are being silenced. You may not notice, but a lot of black shows that are of substance is being canceled. You know, T.J. Holmes just got canceled off of BET. Soledad O'Brien is no longer on. Roland Martin is not on. People that have sense, that was making sense and making dollars, is being shut down. That's the main reason why I went underground, to be independent, because I don't like nobody telling me what to say or what to produce or what to edit. That's why I own all my masters. And so when you do this, when you do your music, young man, make sure you copyright your stuff, patent your trademark. You know, it's all about patents and trademarks and whatever sound you create. You own that. You own that. And when you do whatever you do, let it be business over bullshit. Always make it business first. I've always been hardcore when it comes to my money. That's why nobody ever say that they shitting on me when they tried to steal money from my artists, you know, major labels. I go after them. You know, you have to align yourself with smart people if you don't know it all. And that's what I do. I believe in surrounding myself with geniuses. Do that and come out of your comfort zone. You know, music is good, but everybody's doing music. Do something different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's why I'm in high tech and high heels, because I believe in going left when everybody else is going right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully you'll be a guest on one of my shows. You know what I mean?
Hopefully
so
I will.
Network, you know, and we have
to. We're going to have to keep in touch, too, darling.
Well, you have my information. I'm on Facebook 24 hours. I'm on my Literary Ladies store, but I'm in the city also now and then because I do work. But when I'm not in New York City, I'm doing my thing, you know. So I'm around. God got me here for a reason still. So, you know, you can find me, you know, get my book, shout out my book.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't just write a book just to be writing. I want people to read them.
Maya is actually a host of the Tuesday show, Sports with GQ Palace. So, as you know, GQ Palace has 9 different episodes a week, so the mayor's the host of one of them, sports show.
Yeah. I don't see how you do it.
Yeah.
So I got people like the mayor, and, you know, TC and Ray D Diva Squad, KL. You know, we all a family. We all
that's beautiful. And that's what's up. And that's what people need to start doing, supporting all the online radio shows and turn off channel zero.
They're not doing anything. On May 19th, we got an event going on with Coco Chanel, Video City, Rough Riders, There's a Storm.
Where is that?
That's
going to
be at Club of Law in Queens. Yes.
Because on the 18th, I'm supposed to be shooting that Storm Buckwild battle thing. And then I'm supposed to be going back down to VA, but I don't know. Maybe I'll stick around. That's Malcolm X's birthday. Right. I don't know. Rest in peace to Malcolm X's grandson. Shout out to my friend Gamilla, who is his aunt, and condolences to the family, because Malcolm X, you know, that's the third male that was murdered.
Wow.
Father, then Malcolm X, and now his grandson. So, like, you know, the male.
So can I interject for 1 second? I just want to ask a question, man. Like, and I'm going off topic a little bit, but I'm just saying, I just wanted to say this, because this is something on my mind. Like,
who's this?
This dude. Huh?
I can't hear. Who am I speaking? Who's talking?
It's the mayor right here.
It's the mayor.
Oh, the mayor. Okay, hey, mayor.
Yeah. So, what up? And yo, that dude that helped find them females in Cleveland, right?
Mm.
Right? Like, why is the focus on how he looks?
Yep, exactly.
Yep. And I just wanted to say.
Exactly.
I just wanted to say this. It's like, you don't turn around and say, well, okay, you know, it's people like that shouldn't be seen, that's not representative of us, who we are as a culture. That's some monkey shit. Excuse my French. I'm sorry. You might have to do some elite editing or whatever. So I'm a flipper right now. Like, I wouldn't care if he rescued my sister, someone who was kidnapped and we thought was gone for 10 years. I wouldn't give a damn if he had one eye, 3 arms. You understand what I'm saying?
Because we are living in the Willie Lynch
world. Them
you really are, though.
That craziness that they was in. And why is the focus on what he, you know, how he represented himself?
Or whether or not he gets a McDonald endorsement. Nobody's talking about the fact that these people were kidnapped and enslaved for all of these years.
Wow.
Goes on every day.
And why he got the person,
100,000 people a year. In America alone, this happens every day.
Yeah,
people always focus on the stupidity. And then you have ignorant people that think white is right. And, you know, in their mind, they don't care how great you are or what you do. They always want to mimic you. I've seen people put up pictures of him as a caricature looking like one of the characters from Coming to America.
Eddie
Murphy. That's
Murphy,
what he looks like. You ain't got to put up no cartoon, no Instagram, no Photoshop, no nothing.
Yeah,
he looks
because
just
people
like
are dumb and they're stupid and they're living for
but that's
space.
Not, you know, yeah, you're right. That's right.
What we're living
that's
in. We're living during
everybody
those
wants
times.
To get comedians.
People don't have
everybody
money
to pay. Right.
But
that's
he's
why
to the
trying
bank.
To say something slick. I'm a oh, man. Listen, I'm gonna do it to you straight like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But again, it's nice talking to you. You know what I mean. And again, you know, shout out to my man Rich holding it down and Miss Lavina and all of that and everybody. My man DJ, what's your name? I do.
DJ Rich Boy.
DJ Rich Boy,
he's coming up,
man.
Next.
Remember.
Thank you so much, guys, for having
you know,
me, darling Lewis. And,
no doubt, man. Remember, man, to do the business in your business. It's the business inside the business, man.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Yes,
darling.
Hey, yo, I'm out, man. I trust you.
All right, darling. All right,
thank
man.
Much.
Darling,
thank you.
Darling, you're welcome anytime. It's never a problem. All you got to do is call and let us know when you want to come on.
Oh, thank you. And the same with my show. I'll let you know. I'll always keep you posted on what's going on, and you can do the same. And guys, ladies, and guys, thank you so much for the love and support. And hey, let's save our seeds.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Darlene Lewis, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, we have DJ Rich Boy in the building.
Yes,
and we're going to find out what's going on with him in the music industry and what events that he got coming on. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Cup, all the ladies in the club. If you wanna go home with G-Ball, do it like show a little skin if you wanna get ghost. Back it up real close if you wanna get ghost.
Come on,
take another shot, yeah, baby, have a toast. Time to get it in, let's drink, let's smoke, co-fam. Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get ghost. Drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get ghost. Got me going off a text drive. Let's get ghost. Seeing up, baby, let's ride. Let's get ghost. All the girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the song and get up what you want. Let's get ghost. That's right, we can disappear. Tell you all the freaky things that you want to hear. I'm all up in your ear, trying to get up in your head. We can skip the club and go jump up in my bed. She said, slow down. Why you in a rush? She wanna grind, homie, but I really wanna touch. It really ain't enough, mommy made me wanna get it in. All night, private party room 310. She amazing, but I ain't got patience. Shorty got style, and she hot like Cajun. Blazing fly, first name Raven. 36-24, black and Asian. All black in the VIP. Fitted cap so low, you can't see ID. Who's that? Peep game, you don't know about me. I got the keys to the handcuffs, wanna be free? Now let's ride. Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get go, drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get ghost. Got me going off a sex drive. Let's get ghost. Seen enough, baby, let's ride. Let's cause all the girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the song and get up what you want. This ain't a pop song, this a hot song. Grown women who ain't shy, gon' show your thong. Get loose, great goose, sure to do the job. She let me grab it ass off like a cotton swab. I feel good, yes sir, it's Friday. G'd up, rockin' down Alasante. Drink a shot straight, no chaser. I'm your girl's choice, I don't chase her. But she feelin' me and really see. Why you in the club with your girl steady grillin' me? Definition of a Mac, grade A, the epitome. I'm here for a while, so you haters can't get rid of me. Yeah, 3 in the morning and I'm ready to go. Feeling freaky, so she dropping it low. Two-stepping with a bottle of mo. Let's do a trick like Houdini, baby. Let's get ghost. What a smoke. Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get ghost. Drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get ghost. Got me going off a sex drive. Let's get ghost. Sing it up, baby. Let's ride. Let's get ghost. All the girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the song and get up what you want. Yes, I'm the man, understand. She take it all off without the grins in my hand. But you gotta pay. I label you a trick, what you missing is the game. Me, I'm real slick, take notes, write it down before I bounce. I play smooth, go hard when it counts. Dig that, hit it, gotta come it back. Reverse, it's hard not to get attached. True facts, got a girlfriend with her. Tag team, please follow me like Twitter. Go get her, down peace, gorilla. Flow spitter, fire freaks, smoke liquor. I got the combination for the time of your life. All you gotta do is hop aside for the night. Baby whispered in my ear that she ride like a bike. But I need to feel the truth, wanna talk into my mic. 1, 2, yeah, I like the way she doing that. Let's get ghost, drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get ghost, got me going off a sex drive. Let's get ghost, seen enough, baby, let's ride. Let's get ghost, all my girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the song and get up what you want. Let's get ghost, yeah. Once again, DAMG, baby. Coke fam, serious.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have DJ Rich Boy. DJ,
yo.
Welcome. Hey, Rich Boy, welcome
good,
to the show.
What's good?
So, Rich.
Yeah,
I
man.
I want to thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
I know you got a lot of things going on. Let the people know what you got going on with you right now.
It was good. It's your boy, DJ Rich Boy. Sitting out here in Harlem. Harlem. Finest. I'm out here doing my thing, making sure I get my bread. You know, I got a couple of gigs coming up. Shout out to Flow Empire, my Saturday radio show, Flow Empire, Battle of Sex Drive. Got my man Bill, got my boy Kev, different people that we have, selective guests and everything on there. So, got a couple of, you know, events coming up, a couple of baby showers, parties, concerts, different things going on, so definitely tune in. Make sure y'all hit me up. And guess that's it for right now.
Okay, now you've been DJing. How long have you been DJing?
For about 13 years. So.
For about 13 years. Now, what actually made you decide to get into DJing?
Well, I just had a passion and love for music, so, you know, I just, one day I decided, well, I seen different people moving. They're having a good time with the music. I decided that I actually wanted to make people move and have a, you know, have a well-being of knowing the music and knowing old school, every type of, you know, genre, every type of music there. So I definitely loved it. So that was definitely something I had to do.
Now, let me ask you something. Considering the fact that you was DJing for 13 years and the fact that how they DJing now, just pushing buttons, do you figure that's more easier for them? Do you figure that's an easy way out, considering the fact that you've been DJing for 13 years?
I think it is. I mean, I've been, you know, I went through the crates, so I've been using vinyls and different type of equipment that I know that you had to bring around and carry around, get what you had to do for your music to be right. So, I mean, with the phones and the little tablets that you use now to DJ, it's not the way. I feel the vinyls, CDJs, anything that deals with actually doing something with the music is the way to actually DJ and not the way they're doing it now. So
as far as you being a DJ, which way would you consider more of doing parties, the way it was back then, you know, with scratching to show how experienced you was, or the way it is now?
Of course, back then, scratching was the best thing. You know, people actually can hear you play and love it. I mean, nowadays, people just say you push buttons, and that's not something that's really a party thing that a lot of people want to come to and hear. They want to actually hear you go in. They want to actually hear your selective of music and hear that you are a good DJ. But just pushing buttons is not something that's going to help benefit you in the future, I guess. So.
Okay, so let me ask you, with all the technology that's out now, considering the fact of, you know, people doing parties. Let's say you got a party going on.
Yeah.
You get all your equipment at this event. And then the event canceled. Do you still get paid for that? Or is it,
oh, I do.
You want to promote it just to us?
I make sure I get paid in advance. I make sure that my money is right way before the event starts.
I have contracts. I make sure I bring people that I know that are smart, that actually look through the contracts that they have as well, and make sure that everything is right with the money. And I make sure, like I said, it has to be at least a month or two in advance. Sometimes if there's a late notice thing, it has to be a week in advance to actually get me the DJ put up. So, I mean, anybody else that just let it go through and don't have any mindset of what's going on, they're going to be messed up out there because they're not paying attention to what's going on. They have to, you know, be able to read, be able to know what's going on with the actual party, with the actual contract, make sure they're not jipping them out their money so they can get their actual pay of what they're supposed to have a good time as well.
Now, I know you said, you know, you've been DJing for 13 years and everything, and you're about to start doing events on, you know, baby showers and all that. What made you start to want to do events on baby showers and all that now?
I mean, just with events itself is one thing that I can show people that I have a greatness and a great talent. So I show them that I am prepared to play anything, prepared to do any type of parties, especially baby showers. Baby showers is one of the main things that you have to do to show people that you really can DJ. It's not a big thing. Baby showers are not big things, but they have people there that come, you know, celebrities come once in a while maybe, and they have you where you'll be surprised, and you know you have to show off your talent. Now, if you just sitting there bullshitting around or messing around, it's not going to go down like that. Nobody's going to want you or actually have you as their DJ just because you don't have your stuff right, so...
Okay, now, what's the difference between the fact that you're doing baby showers back then compared to doing them now?
Well, I mean, more people, if you actually see or you actually go to baby showers, you do see a lot of more people do come out just to hear the DJ. They want to have a good time. Instead of just sitting there being bored, you got to bring maybe one or two CDs so you can have a playlist. They want to actually enjoy themselves at baby showers. So... the way it was back then, you know, you didn't really get the chance to do that because it was just a baby shower, so nobody thought of it like that. But nowadays, people are coming, they enjoy themselves at the baby shower. They want to hear, they want to have a good time, you know, chill with their friends, family, get to meet new people. And in order for that to happen, you have to have the music right.
Now, what's the best thing you like about being a DJ? And what's the worst thing about being a DJ?
The best thing... right now, to me, it's just the love of the music. Actually having people listen to what I have to play, listen to the way I do play. The bad thing about it, when the gigs don't go right, when there's something messed up, you got to figure out a way to get your stuff right, get your equipment right, make sure nothing is messed up, your wires is not split or anything like that. Because if you have that problem, your gig is soon, or next day, whatever the case is, then you're really going to be messed up. So you have to be on point.
Now, I know you mentioned Bills Mania from Battle of Sex Drop. Because, you know,
yeah,
and everything, you know, that's family right there. Now, how did you and Bill meet up for you to become the DJ on Battle of Sex Drop?
Well, I started off where I've been doing different clubs most of the time of my life. So I ended up meeting Bills at one of the clubs that I was doing, which is called Sapphire. He came through, he had his group, their music come through, and they performed. And my homeboy Tone, DJ Uncle Tone, shout out to him, set me up with Bills where we started talking, and Bills heard me DJ and loved it. So he definitely wanted to put me on the show, make sure people, you know, hear me, give me a little exposure like that. So it was a great thing.
Now, if you had the chance to do music for anybody in the industry, who would it be and why?
The chance to do music for anybody.
DJ, yeah.
Let's see. There's a lot out there. I think I'll go with right about now. I'll go with. I'm really trying to think because there's so many people out there that have great talent. But I mean, I really don't have a choice. But I do. I mean, if I can work with anybody, I would, just so I can have a little bit of exposure as well as getting to know more people in life. So, I mean, it's really not a one thing. It's more of a all around where I get to meet anybody. I would be proud, just so I know they heard me before, they heard me DJ, and they're willing to work with me.
Okay, now, Okay, now let me ask you, you have the DJs and you have the producers.
Yeah.
You ever see yourself in the same category as the producer, being that you a DJ?
Not really. I tried that. I tried the producer and tried different things like that, and it didn't work out. You know, my team, people that I had, really wasn't trying to connect with me like that. They always had problems. They didn't do the right thing. You know, they always had problems with their family. They had just different things that wasn't right, and I didn't feel I can actually deal with that. I just stuck to the DJ, kept it going as that. So, I mean, that was the best thing for me.
All right, see, so what I want you to do is explain to the people, because my line is flooded, explain to them what's the difference between a DJ and a producer.
Well, for me, a DJ is a person that loves the music, any type of music. A DJ is a person that actually can play techno, pop, hip-hop, R&B, different selective of genres. The difference between that and a producer, they're just there trying to get money, make sure their team is right, like I said, make sure their artists is on point, do what they have to do, and just have it where their music is on point as well. Make beats, you know, different things like that. So, I mean, like I said, I did try it. I mean, it didn't work out for me, so I stuck to the DJ, and that's my love, and that's my life. So.
Okay. Now, compared to the music that's out now, as far as being a DJ, would you say this music is more difficult to DJ with than compared to the music that was out now? Because the music that was out then, back, say, 13 years ago, was people, you know, artists delivering messages and everything. You understand? It was
yeah.
What it was the thing for music. So now it seems like you just got artists just saying any old thing. Just my theory. Do you feel like it's difficult for you trying to, like, deal with trying to blend stuff in and...
Yeah, it really is. I mean, because they don't, you know, they don't really have a mindset of the music that they're doing. They're just sitting there putting something out so they can just make their money, buy different big things in life, you know, big cars, jewelry, everything like that. I mean, back then they actually was delivering a message, telling people to get their life together, showing people that there's a better way in life than actually just be on the street. Just sitting there, you know, actually delivering a good message instead of, like I said, now it's nothing. I mean, you know, I like the music because I do play it. I play everything. But, I mean, if I could choose, I'd rather stay old school all the time.
Now, let's get to your name, Rich Boy. How did you come up with that name?
Well, I mean, my name is Richard, so, I mean, it started off like that. That first part, Rich, sounded well, and since I was young, that's why they gave me the boy part. So that's how I developed Rich Boy. And everybody been loving it so far. I mean, people been giving me props. People been wanting to hear me all the time. They know I'm a great DJ, so they have it as me as one of the best people that they ever met.
Okay, now, Cool Clyde was the first one who actually put scratching on wax. Now,
did I get
it? Cool Clyde.
Okay.
Cool Clyde, he was the first one to put scratching on wax and everything. Now, if it came down to the fact of DJ battling, which would you prefer to have that established with? The turntables that they had back then? Do you feel it'd be easier to go with the baby status they got now? Because to me, that's what it is. Because all you're doing is pressing a button.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
You know, that's all you're mainly doing is pressing a button.
Yeah.
So, as far as like parties and all that, what is your method to keep the crowd going? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Let's say you got a crowd now, and they dancing, but you're throwing something else, and you see people sitting down. Now you got to think of something. What's actually running through your mind at the time to think of something to get this crowd back on the dance floor?
Well, with me, everything is you have to be on point. So if that was to happen, for example, and I didn't, you know, I really had to think quickly. I would just have to go, like I said, old school, just because everybody know old school, everybody knows some type of old school music. So they definitely would sit there. If they heard that, they'd get right back up, sit there, party, dance, have a good time, enjoy themselves. It won't be any problems, no fights or anything like that. So you have to have that mindset of thinking quickly, like I said, with old school, because you know that you can get people up and have a good time with any type of old school.
Mm. Now, what would you say, who would you say some of your inspirations as becoming a DJ?
Some of my inspirations, I did work with Flex, so I kind of did get inspired by him just because of the way he do play. I mean, like his techniques of actually DJing was one of the best. At his time and still now, a lot of people know him. People want to deal with him. You know, he has everything going for himself. And when I was working with him, I actually got to see it for myself. I was amazed. So, I mean, just listening to High 97 all the time, I actually, you know, and working with Flex, I actually had that mind where it was like, wow, I'm glad I met a person like this. I'm glad I got the opportunity to actually DJ with a person like this.
Okay. Now, do you have any mixtapes out? Are you planning on putting out any mixtapes at this time?
Yeah, my mixtape should be coming out by December. I should have something out by December where everybody can hear it, they can enjoy themselves. I do, like I said, I play everything. So it's not going to just be one genre. It's going to be all type of music, all different flavors, all different people, new artists, old artists, underground artists, everything.
Now, let me ask you. I know I went to one spot, and the DJ was mixing. Then all of a sudden, he threw on a CD. He's tired of scratching. Now,
yeah.
Do you feel like that's a professional status for a DJ if you had a spot to just throw on a CD when you have this crowd that's dancing and you see them sitting down and all of a sudden?
To be honest,
what's the theory behind that?
I mean, as of right now, you know, they have the computers, they have the CDJ. So with that, if you're talking about that way, I mean, it's kind of a way of looking at a good DJ. But I mean, I would, like I said, I'd rather stick with vinyls just because there's a push on it. You know, it's coming from all the way back then. So people been using vinyls all their life. People don't change up. I mean, you know, I use all different type of equipment, but if I had the choice to use vinyl all the time, I would.
So what's your method between the DJs that's out now compared to you? What's different about your mixing that's going to be different between, you know, any other DJ?
My method is I'm smart about what I actually do with the DJ. So being that said, you know, a lot of people, their method is just getting it, you know, getting it done quickly, getting the party over and getting paid. That's not something that you do. If you're a true DJ or if you love music, you're not going to just sit there and put yourself in that predicament like that. You're going to make sure that everything is right, like I said. You're going to make sure that the DJing is on point. You're not going to just sit there and just let anything happen, and then that's it. You know that you're going to get paid, and you just, you know, you just let it be. That's not something that DJs should go about themselves. They should have more of a better quality of music, better way of thinking of music, thinking of, you know, why do I love the music? Why do I DJ? Different things like that. And I actually do have that mindset. So, I mean, with me, if I could tell anybody, any DJ that's up and coming or any DJ that's been out that thinks that's the right way, they should stop that because they're not getting anything out of that. They're not benefiting themselves. And it's not something that you should like or do just so you can get some money.
So, what's the first thing that comes to mind before you start to do a party and throw those headphones on while you're standing there?
The first thing that comes to mind is having a crowd right. Just making sure that that night goes well. Making sure that they do actually dance, get up, enjoy themselves. And then actually will come to me like, wow, I really like the way you play. I really like the way you had your music going. I really like how you kept everybody up. I'm glad you did come. Something like that. So,
And what advice would you give an up and coming DJ that's trying to get in the profession that you're in? What advice would you give them if they came to you?
My advice is don't follow everything that everybody else do. that's a DJ. Don't follow that method of just getting things done quickly. Know what you're doing. Actually know that you, if you are a DJ, actually know what you're doing. Pay attention. Look up stuff. Go on Google. Read up on it. Like I said in the last segment that you had, you know, I don't like reading, but I will sit there. Actually, if I had to, if I had to pay attention, learn the music, and I will. Like, I will take the time out to actually get it right. So when I do have a party, you know, make sure everything is great. So like I said, with any DJ that's coming up right now, make sure that you do your thing and do it well and pay attention to what you're doing, because you don't want to be messed up out here in the game. The people who just play you and don't deal with you just because of the way you are.
Wow. Now, to me, I think that's going to be kind of hard, because the fact that you're saying you don't like reading, I think that's what puzzled everybody in the last segment. Because you're saying you don't like reading, but you have to deal with contracts. So what if you get that contract, that stack of paper contract, and like Darlene was saying, and you don't have a lawyer, how are you going to go about reading that? Like,
the thing is, you know, I don't like I said, I don't like reading, but I do read. When I get the chance, I actually sit down, you know, I read a newspaper here and there. I read a book. Like, is the thing about it, the difference between people not, you know, not liking to read, and the difference between me and the different people is they sit there and they don't like reading. They don't read no time. No, they sit there and they just let it go and just, you know, like anything happens to them. The difference I would do, like I said, is actually sit there and read it. Even though I don't like reading, I do pay attention. I make sure my work is right. I make sure the music is right. I make sure the contract is on point. Even if I have to bring somebody with me to let me know certain things, I make sure I have the smartest person that I know, or anybody in my family, friends that I do trust to help me out, I would bring them with me just in case I don't, you know anything, or I don't know what's going on exactly with the contract. I would sit there, have them help me out just so we can get everything right, so my money won't be messed up.
Wow. Rich boy, what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody your information, because my lines is flooded. You know, let them know about your mixtape you got coming up. Let them know about baby showers, how to get in touch with you, your contact info. Let them know all that.
Like I said, yo, y'all already know, boy DJ Rich Boy, Harlem Finest. If you want to get in contact with me, you can hit me up on Facebook at DJ Rich Boy. My Instagram is DJ Rich Boy 2012, everything capital. If you need to contact me on phone, my number is 347-437-1541. Once again, 347-437-1541. Just hit me up if you need any type of music, any type of mixtape, any type of beats. I do make beats. We'll start getting into that as well. Just with the DJing wise, if you have any baby showers, concerts, parties, bar mitzvahs, anything like that, any type of event, just hit me up, and I'll definitely get back to you if I'm not around at the time.
Well, Rich Boy, I want to thank you. It's been an honor. You know, you're welcome back anytime. You got my mask. Anytime.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to call you back.
No doubt. Let me know, and we definitely have you on. It's never a problem. You know, we're going to throw you in the magazine and all that. GQ College has a magazine as well. Put you on that and everything. And the promotion don't just stop here.
Yeah.
All
right. I definitely want to give it, like I said, I want to give a shout-out to Bills.
Yeah,
everybody on the team.
Give your shout-out to everybody.
Yeah. Give a shout-out to my team, Paper Chaser Entertainment. Give a shout-out to my boy Bills, Kev, Slim, Bank, everybody out there that's a part of my team. Everybody that's just showing me love. Thank you for the support. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I can work with y'all as well on this radio station, get everything going, and just have a good time in my life.
No doubt. We definitely going to see to that. It's definitely going to happen. We definitely going to do our best, do what we do to the fullest for everybody that comes on GQ Palace. We support them. We give 110%.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity as well. So.
No doubt. DJ Rich Boy, Don's and D.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we have our special guest appearance, Terrence Taquin. And we're going to talk to him about his novel that's hitting across the globe real hard, Guilty by Reason of Arrest. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Yes, sir.
All right, Terrence, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. I know you're a busy man. This book you got is something. we have people calling and talking about your book that they read it already and everything.
Yeah, I'm doing so much, because I'm doing so much national press. I've been doing a lot of national stuff. I'm here to do CNN in like about like 3 or 4 weeks. So that's gonna put me over the top.
Okay. Let's talk about your novel, because this is something that, you know, I figure the world do need to know about. You know, now what actually made you decide to name the title "Guilty by Reason of Arrest"?
I mean it's self-explanatory, man. Once they lock us up, man, I mean it don't really take a genius to know that once they put the handcuffs on you and they fingerprint you, as far as they're concerned, you're guilty. And the fact that you got to go through hell to get it off your record, even when you get found not guilty, you know what I'm saying? If there is a such thing as that, tells you the story to all you need to know, because you can go through the whole process of winning your case, but you'll still be, as far as I'm concerned, you're still guilty because it's still on your jacket, and you got to try to pay all this money to get it off your jacket, and you still don't go away.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So the proper title for me would be "Guilty by Reason." Because once you're arrested, that's just what it is. You're guilty. It's just point blank. There's no ducking around it.
Mm. And what actually made you decide to write this novel?
Well, see, I got caught up in the system myself, man, and it's like, you know, like from, like coming from where I came from, you know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody can get caught up, you know, for me going so far as getting a trial for the Atlanta Falcons and actually playing in all 4 preseason games, and then I hurt my shoulder and had 2 surgeries. It ended, you know, as fast as it started, you know what I'm saying? The fact that it ended so quick, you know, it made me go back to my second love, which was music. Luckily, I did really well with my music. And when I put the single, I had a single out called "If a Man Has to Hit a Woman." It was called "If You Can't Learn to Love Her." It was about spousal abuse. And I put the record on. The record took off in a bunch of markets around the country. And before I knew it, BET was playing my videos. So then I got a situation. I got to deal with Warner Brothers through a label called Brandon Records. And Warner Brothers gave me all this bread, but they sat me on the shelf and didn't put any songs out with me for 5 years. So before I knew it, I was back doing a bunch of stuff in the street, and ended up got jammed up. And got caught up in the system.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But while I was there, what was so crazy is this, is while I was there, when I did the first, like for me to do the first 3 years straight being in prison, when I was there, it kind of blew me away, because I didn't know what was going on when I got out. It took me going back on a violation to realize what was going on. So when I went back on that violation, I took that opportunity to write the book, and I wrote the book, man, just really to school people right now, because right now they're coming after our kids. You know what I'm saying? This whole thing is about getting our kids caught up in the system, and most of us, for whatever strange reason, we're not recognizing that.
So would you consider it more of the parents that's not recognizing, or is it more of them being involved in the society system, period?
Yeah, it's more than being involved in society, period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the parents, see, most parents are only going to, you know, like they're only going to know the basic information about what's going on in society, you know, period, especially when you're dealing with the legal system. So, you can't really blame the parents, because they've taken all of these jobs out of the inner city neighborhoods on purpose. You know what I'm saying? All this whole situation was planned out. They took them inner city jobs out. There was no factories. I mean, there was factories everywhere. Now there's no factories nowhere, because they were all primarily black, Latino, and poor whites that had those jobs. And they took all those jobs out of the inner cities. Now there's no jobs around. So people are going to do whatever they got to do to survive. So they get caught up in this legal stuff. But the thing about it is, what people don't understand, not in one little bit am I condoning crime or condoning, you know, criminal behavior. But what I'm saying is that you're locking people up for like years at a time, and it's costing anywhere between $32,000 to as much as $52,000 a year to house somebody that's in there for selling some drugs that probably worth like about maybe like about 20, 30, 50, maybe a couple hundred bucks. You know what I'm saying? So the taxpayers are paying for this mess. And the whole problem with the whole thing is that while they're paying for it, you know, the people are just sitting there in jail, and they're not getting any kind of rehabilitation. So when they come out, they're doomed to fail, because they're going to go back in there, because they knew that they didn't rehabilitate them while they were there.
Wow, that's something real serious right there. Now, you say,
oh, no doubt,
quote, there have been countless books, movies, TV shows, and documentaries describing the criminal justice system and the people who control it. What they all have failed to do is make clear the true motives of those behind what can actually be described as the injustice system. Explain that.
Right. that right there is, man, I'm so glad you picked that particular thing to ask me about, because the true motive behind all of this is strictly money. The crazy thing, kind of going back to what I just said, why would you lock somebody up for like 2-3 years at a time for a crime that a victimless crime? Because right now we already know that close to 62.8% of the people in the prison system, in whether it's fed or state in the United States, are in there for victimless crimes or nonviolent crimes. So why are you sending somebody in prison where it's so expensive? But what I said in that phrase is I want to make clear the true motives, and the true motives behind it is strictly a dollar. The prison industrial industry right now, you can go pick up a Wall Street Journal and go invest in the prison industrial complex right now. Right now, you can go invest money in it and make money off of the way they're incarcerating people right now. I mean, so the bottom line, the true motives behind this whole thing is the fact that they're locking people up for money. There's no sugarcoating it. The fact that they're getting rid of all of these educational programs inside of jails and the rehabilitation programs, and the ones they got there, they know don't work. So the true motive behind this whole thing is strictly about a dollar. I mean, you can't sit here and just keep locking people up for nonviolent offenses and think that you're not going to, you know, affect that person's family. That person's kids is going to be affected by that. That person's community is going to be affected by that, and that's what's happening right now. So the true motive is about that dollar, and that's what I make that very clear, because I mentioned that maybe 100 times during the course of this book.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying on that part. Now, explain to my listeners about what's inside this book that's going to actually prevent what's actually going on in our system that you have in this book that's going to make them realize exactly what you're saying. Because, you know, you could speak it, and like they say, I can speak loud in the world, but you got some people that's listening, but they're not comprehending.
That's right. You're right. Let me say this to you. What's in that book, what I do, it's 5 steps, it's 5 chapters. I call it the 5-step chapters. Each of those steps break down the whole process of what you're going to go through if you get caught up in that system. You're going to deal with the police, who are nothing but occupiers in our neighborhood. Then you're going to get a situation, which we common sense know there's no such thing as no good lawyer. And if you're lucky enough to run across one, you're really fortunate. And then you're going to deal with having to go through the actual legal system itself, which you know is already tainted because they're forcing you to take guilty pleas because they scare the hell out of you to make you not want to go to trial. Then you're going to go through the whole prison system. Then you're going to come out of that prison system. You're going to deal with the probation and the parole system. So what I do in the book, I break down step by step what you have to do to avoid it, what you have to do to fight it while you're in there. Each step in this book, man, it's like, to be honest with you, it's like a self-help book of how to keep your ass out of jail. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's like. It's like a self-help book. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like a self-help book of how to stay out of prison, and if you do get caught up in it, how to handle it, well, how to better handle it as opposed to the way people are being forced to handle it. But they're using fear tactics to force them to handle it the way they're forcing people to handle getting caught up in the legal system. Everything about that whole system is just strictly scaring the hell out of you to make you have to take that guilty plea because you're so scared that you're going to get a 5 to 10 or 10 to 20 when they know good and well it don't really carry that kind of time, but they'll scare you into believing that it does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let me ask you. Now, you have a couple of authors that wrote books about, you know, the system and everything. What's going to make your book different from the others?
I'm going to tell you right now, when you listen, you got to remember something. A lot of the authors, like even the ones that sat in prison, let me tell you, one thing I did in this book, and I don't know if the listeners who you talk to, they'll tell you that what I did in this book, I went really, really hard. I mean, I didn't pull punches. Because, people have been asking me lately, man, ain't you scared that the system going to come at you, man, for coming at it so hard? No. Mm-hmm. Somebody got to do it. No, somebody got to. What I did in my book, I mean, I didn't really pull no punches. I went really, really hard. I mean, I did not, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I did not, I mean, I like, spared no expense in terms of a verbal lashing. I mean, I gave the system a major verbal lashing in that book. And I meant to do that. So what you're going to find differently than my book, and most books, you're going to find somebody that really didn't sugarcoat anything the way it is. Same thing, like when I talk to these kids at these schools, I don't sugarcoat it the same way I didn't sugarcoat it in my book. I come directly at it. I say it the way it's supposed to be said, and I give you information that for whatever strange reason, and I don't understand this, a lot of guys go to jail, they come home back to their neighborhoods, and for whatever crazy reason, they won't give you that information that they learned in there. They won't tell you that it's not worth wasting years of your life just sitting there just for you to come home and say, oh, yo, I did a bit. You know what I'm saying? I got street cred because I did a bit. No, you don't got no street cred. What you just did was disenfranchise yourself from being able to vote, from being able to sit on juries and all kinds of stuff like that. But they got our kids thinking that it's a badge of honor for whatever crazy reason. They got our kids thinking that it's a badge of honor to go to jail, that it's cool, and ain't nothing cool about going to jail.
Mm-hmm. But you got some of the guys that come out, they have their new stuff on that they just got, and they make it sound like it is what it's not. I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, you say in our quote, each of these five steps chapter will do what others have refused to by describing a great detail who, where, when, and why the self-proclaimed land of the free has become the world leader in incarcerating and disenfranchising its poor. Explain that.
When I broke it down, I broke it down like in the book. You're gonna like if you read it. I broke it down to the point where as though I showed in great detail each aspect of the people that you're gonna come across. So you're gonna come across a lot of different people in the system that's gonna lead you into that in the new system of control, which is what I call it. And I broke it down in great detail in terms of like I said, when you deal with the police, the fact that the police will take you into the police station, even if the victim said that you were not the one, the police will still take you into the police station and take you through that whole process and make the victim come down there and try to coach them into saying that you were actually the person. So I broke that down in the book in terms of how they'll go out of their way to make you plead guilty and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? They'll go out of their way. You know what I'm saying? To make you plead guilty.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, as far as you being an author and your novel, what you consider was the most important part of this novel that you wrote to make the society really understand what you're talking about in your book?
I think the most important part of everything that I wrote in this book is the fact that, at the very end of the book, I'm not going to give too much of it away, but at the end of the book, I mean, everything I said in the book really was leading to one thing. And it was really just leading up to the fact that the whole system is designed to disenfranchise you, to destroy your right to be able to vote, to destroy your right to be able to be involved in the democratic process of the country. And I broke that down in a way where, like, each one of those chapters is, like, as you go through it, you'll see that I'll mention things similar to that as I'm going through the book. I'll keep mentioning things similar to, you know, how you lose your rights and how you become like a second class citizen. So what I did, I broke it down as I went. So by the time they got to the end of the book, everything that I said made sense. Everything was kind of like putting together a puzzle. As you go, like you're putting pieces of the puzzle together. So by the time you get to the end, the puzzle has been put together to the point where, you know, you can say, oh, okay, he talked about all of that during the course of the book. So let me know that at the end of the day, they're just really trying to disenfranchise as many of us as they possibly can. So by the time we get our criminal record stacked up against us, because right now they use the point system, where though if you get X amount of felonies or misdemeanors, you have to go to prison. You know what I'm saying? You can have like three or four felonies on your jacket. I mean, three or four misdemeanors and get like a petty felony and then have to go to prison to sit there for like a year or two, knowing that it's costing all this money to sit you there when you could just be out there earning a living, you know what I'm saying, and doing community service or house arrest or some other form of punishment, because prison is not helping. Every politician has already made that clear, that prison has not changed anything. But the point I really want to make clear at the end of that book, aside from you being disenfranchised, is the fact that they're focusing on our kids right now. They are right now, let me say this, and I mentioned this in the book too. While I was locked up, a guy from the school district of Pennsylvania came to the prison. I can't say his name, but he sat here and told us. He said, "Listen, they already got it scheduled and mapped out that if your kid is reading below grade level and he's in the third or fourth grade, they already got them counted for beds in the prison system all across the country."
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean. Listen, to have a guy in education say that to us, you know what I'm saying? To have somebody of his stature say that was crazy to me, but it was just the reality of it. You know what I'm saying? And we understood that. So to answer your point and your question right there, the bottom line that what I want people to get out of this book is at the end of the book, you're going to see that I focused on how they're disenfranchising us, but I also focused on how they're coming after our kids, because right now they need our kids to keep this mess going.
Exactly.
Bottom line. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, a lot of the adults are waking up. And if they're not waking up, they're getting to the point where they're maxing out of the system. And it's hard. It's a little harder to get them back into the system because they understand it a lot better, how to avoid it. But our kids don't. And that's why they're focusing on our kids right now. And I make that very, very clear throughout the book. And I really go deeper into it at the end of the book.
And that was my next question. Do you feel like the youth that's out here now in dealing with the kids, you know, do your book explains, you know, to the parents and that where they could sit down and read a chapter of your book to them to make them realize what's going on out here and how the system is actually trying to get them into the jail, you know? But,
well,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying go ahead because to me, you just explained it, you know, because that would have been my next question I was going to ask you. No.
Well, let me say this about the parents. The parents, you asked it a little bit before, but the parents, see, we can't see that right now. They want us to blame the parents. You got to remember that the media and the way things is laid out right now is controlling these kids right now. But that was all done on purpose. The media, the reality shows, the music, it's controlling the kids. The parents don't really have no control over their kids anymore because the media has seized control of these kids. But they've done that on purpose. So the parents are only going to be able to do but so much only for the simple fact that kids are growing up much faster now than they did when we were younger. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the bad part about that is that the parents, they feel, most of them are feel overwhelmed because most of them spending their time trying to earn a living just to be able to keep a roof over their head. Because you got to remember, the minimum wage, everything else is not going up, but the cost of living is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're keeping the parents, you see what I'm saying? They're keeping them too hijacked into just trying to survive, whereas they can't really put the kind of time and effort on their kids like our mom and dad used to put on us. So we can't really blame the parents because the parents are only able to do what they can because you got to remember most of them are poor because right now in the United States, there's only rich people and poor people. There's no, like all this middle class they talked about during the election, there's no middle class anymore. It's only rich people and poor people right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the poor people are struggling every day just to make it. So the legal system knows this. And they already know that once a kid get locked up, the parent don't got no money to pay for no lawyer. So you end up getting what? A public defender. And the public defender has about 200-300 cases on each person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Each one of those public
right
defenders on, you know what I'm saying? On any given day, that public defender might have to go into court with 50 to 100, maybe 125 people, you know what I'm saying, on his case law. You know what I'm saying? So he can't really afford to give you the kind of legal representation that you need to be able to fight whatever charge they got against you because he's too overwhelmed, and the system already knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the parents only going to be able to do what they can. But, like, thank God a lot of parents are waking up to what they're doing because right now the bottom line is that they're focusing on our kids, man, because they need our kids to keep this mess going. And that's why I'm doing this thing. It's myself, Pastor Derek Johnson. He's out of Delaware. He has a church called Joshua Harvest. State Representative Ronald G. Waters, hip hop artist Sandman. He was part of Re-Up Gang with Pharrell and the Clips. We got a thing called the Mission, exposing the schools to prison pipeline. And right now we've been speaking at these different schools, and we have schools set up in New York and New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Delaware, and all throughout Pennsylvania. We're going to be doing schools over the next like month or so. Then we're doing these summer programs with all these kids because we're doing everything we possibly can through that program and my book to expose the fact that they're coming after our kids.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I mean, I'm not playing no games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to hold on. We got some callers for you. We go to the
All right. All right.
Hello, caller. You there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you want to hear what Terrence talking?
Hi, how are you, Terrence?
How are you?
I'm doing good. How long were you locked up for?
If you include the violation time, you're probably talking about 4 years.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, and it was nothing nice about it. So for the fact that I was in there for a non-violent offense, You know what I'm saying? Really a white collar crime, but they put you in with you know with murderers, rapists. You know they don't care. They throw you right in there with them because you know it's just the fact that since you were guilty, you know what I'm saying? Okay, we putting you in anybody. We don't care what they're in there for. Since you were found guilty and they were, y'all gonna be in there together. That's just their mentality.
Wow. So did you write your book while you were locked up?
Well, actually, I had wrote it before. I mean, I wrote it before I actually started going through the system. I started it, but I never got around to really doing it because I didn't really have all the knowledge, and I was eventually going to research it. But obviously, as you can see, I was able to research it while I was there because I had nothing but time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I wasn't one of those guys that was playing basketball, chess, and you know, just watching TV and working out and stuff like that. I mean, I did those things, but I did those things like as little as I possibly could because I spent more time writing my book. Actually, I wrote four books altogether.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, it is. It's really sad because a lot of people get locked up. They're not even guilty of the crime.
Exactly.
Like, but they make it so that you're being guilty, or they'll try to give you a bid to say that, you know, so you get less time. But either way you go, you're going to get caught up.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you need to crime or not.
That's right. That's right. Because the system is, you got to remember something, and I'm glad you said that. Because it's designed, listen, it's designed to just strictly get guilty pleas. It's designed to clear what's called case law. Like I just told him, you got to remember there's a lot of cases every day, and people are nothing but numbers to them. Like, they're not even names. They're just numbers. They're just case numbers. So, but the case numbers are stacking up, so they got to clear case log. So they don't care whether you're innocent or guilty. The fact that they got to clear this case log is their priority.
Right. Mm. Right. You know, and it's really, really sad because a lot of people are sitting behind the bars now, not even guilty of it. You know, I had a friend a few years ago. He was locked up for, I think, like 15 years, and they found out that he wasn't even the guy that did the crime. You know, but saying sorry and you've taken 15 years of my life, come on
now.
it's
crazy. It's crazy. They offer you an apology after destroying your life.
Exactly. I mean, what? Sorry is not going to get those 15 years that,
That's
you
right.
know, my kid has grown up. Don't even know who I am. I mean, it's really my oldest brother was the warden of the state penitentiary, and he just told us a lot of stories, you know, and like a lot of innocent people are getting locked up.
Well, you gotta remember something, right? And this is the part that I think a lot of people don't understand. You're dealing with, like, right now, this is a business right now. I mean, it's crazy, but they've turned people into, like, commodities. It's really, it's not about innocence or guilt anymore. It's just strictly about keeping these. You got to remember something. Right now, you got politicians that are lobbying these prisons, and you got prison officials that are lobbying politicians to keep adding new laws, to keep locking more people up because they need those guys to be in those jails spending money on commissary, their family spending money on phone calls.
Yeah.
It's like a huge business right now. You know, I mean, so they don't. It doesn't matter whether you're innocent or guilty. That's just a joke right now. It's sad, but it's just the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy that we would even be having a conversation to say something like that. But it's just the reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but having said that, it's really up to us to really start getting more engaged. Like I tell everybody right now, whenever I have these interviews, I tell people. These local politicians are helping them come into our neighborhood and destroy our neighborhood and pretty much kidnap our sons and our daughters. It's up to us to start holding those people accountable and get their ass out of there when they start doing what they're doing because right now it's them who are helping them come into our neighborhood and kidnap us.
Right, right. I mean, you know, you sitting there and, you know, you say, well, I'm not guilty. I wasn't there. Well, we had a certain amount of people tell us that you committed this crime, you know, and like you said, they bring these people in, they pay them, and you're locked up, and you may not have done the crime.
Let me tell you something, right? And this is why, this is kind of why this is kind of why our movement is going national. We're doing something else called Familiar Faces Against Incarceration. It's a radio and a TV campaign. I have a meeting with BET and TV1 in the next couple of weeks to start to get them involved in terms of showing these ads where a lot of friends, politicians, athletes, activists and people like that. We're doing a 60-second and a 30-second spot for radio and TV, where you're going to see these people asking for support to get involved and to start exposing the fact that the United States, which only makes up 5% of the world population, we make up 25% of the people in prison throughout the world.
Wow.
I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, think about it. You got to remember, the United States of America, the so-called land of the free, makes up 5% of the world's population, but we account for 25.2% of the prisons, people in prison in the world.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but everything I'm telling you, you can research.
Wow.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
you know, like you say, if we don't stand together, it's going to get worse.
That's right. And the thing about the thing about it, a lot of us already know that what we need to do is just for whatever reason we're not doing it. So what I've been doing is I've been on a shame campaign. Listen, I'm starting to shame people. I'm telling you right now, I've been shaming people into not doing what they know they're supposed to do. To watch as you sit back watching your neighborhood and your family be destroyed, I'm shaming your ass. You know what I'm saying? I'm making you feel ashamed because you need to be ashamed of not getting involved in the fact of watching these people do what they're doing right now strictly because they're making money. They're using people to make money off of. Bottom line.
Yeah, you're right. But
it's crazy, but it's reality.
Because I mean, you're very deep, and I mean, you know, hey, you've come this far, and keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot.
And always keep God first, which I see you doing that.
Oh, no, most definitely, because we need that spiritual support, no matter how you do it.
Every day.
That's right.
But, you know,
right.
Keep up the good work, and I would definitely be a fan. I am definitely a fan of yours, Sam.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thank you for calling. All right, hold the line. Terrence, we have another caller for you.
All right.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good. I am applauding you, my brother. Wow. You're welcome. So much that you are doing. God bless you and continue success. I am definitely a fan. I have a question. I read in on the web that you had done some work with Steve Harvey.
Yes.
And my question to you is, how was it working with Steve Harvey?
Well, it wasn't really doing any work. I was just at a couple events that he attended. We didn't really do any work together. He attended a few events, and they touched on different topics dealing with the his stand up and things like that. And we talked about the prison system and things like that. It wasn't a thing where that we did any work together. But there were several other people in the industry that I worked with. That I'm doing, like, that's on that Familiar Faces campaign, like the actor Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames is one of the people that we use on the Familiar Faces Against Incarceration. Right now, we should have been locked down Michael Vick some time ago, but it's been, like, pulling teeth getting that, but we're going to eventually get Mike Vick on it. But we have several other people, like several radio personalities. We have them. I finally set it up to take Bernard Hopkins, the boxer out of Philadelphia. Bernard's going to be on there. So it's like that's part of that Familiar Faces campaign that we did where we're going to be having those ads on television. And you're going to see them everywhere. So once we get them done, you know, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch these things go on TV every day, all day long, for people to start getting involved in this process. Because right now, if we don't get involved in it, it's going to be ridiculous for us to keep sitting around asking for other people to help us when we won't help ourselves.
Exactly.
You can't keep complaining. You can't keep complaining about this mess if you're not getting involved in it. You can't keep acting like it's going to go away on its own. It's not going to go away. These people are making money off of locking up poor and minority people.
Exactly.
I mean, it don't really take a genius to figure it out.
Mhm. Wow. And I totally agree with every statement. I've been listening to the interview. Great interview. I've been listening to everything you've been saying. Every statement that you have made thus far, I agree with. And again, I applaud you. I am a new fan of yours.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Now, let me ask you, Terrence, how long did it actually take you to get your novel on the shelf and everything?
Well, you know, it's a process. Like when you're doing it yourself, you know, because it's several publishers that wanted to publish my book, but I just the type of money they wanted to take, I wasn't willing to do that right now. Actually, I have a few more coming at me now. Eventually, I'm gonna go with a publisher, but you can do it yourself. You don't really need a publisher. All you need is the internet. Because right now, I'm selling so many books like crazy through Amazon.com and through BarnesandNoble.com, which you can get my book. You know what I'm saying? You can log on to BarnesandNoble.com and get it right now. You can log on to Amazon.com and you can get it through the Nook. If you got like a iPad with a Nook and or the separate Nook, you know, like or the ebook, you can get it. You know, you can get it on the internet, or you can just go or you can order it through some of these. You can call any bookstore and give them the name of the book. You don't even have to go in there; they'll order it for you, and then you can go pick it up. You know what I'm saying? So you really don't need a publisher. So to answer your question, it didn't really take me that long. It was just a matter of sitting down, hiring the people who knew how to get it done. I had to pay people to get that part done, because you can't really do it yourself unless you've already done it several times before. But now that I've watched them do it and I did it myself to some degree, I can pretty much publish anybody's book right now, and make sure that the book is national. Because right now you can get the book no matter what country you're in right now. You can buy my book right now.
Okay, like I said, it's global. It's hitting hard. We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello.
All right.
Hold on. You there?
Hi, this is Kia.
Hello.
Hi, Kia. How are you?
Good. Sorry I'm calling in late.
That's okay.
I had to hear you. I know you were last month. You were on with Sean McGraw.
With who?
I know you were on Hot Shot 97.
Oh yeah. With Star, yeah.
And you were talking about, you know, the book, and you were talking about some key stuff in your book. You were talking about you said something about in prison for nonviolence offenses, or you use the injustice system. Then you were talking about the human rights atrocity, and you were trying to shed some light on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, like when prisoners come out and right to vote, and how, you know, it's a hard task for them. And I'm trying to remember all the stuff you were talking about in that interview, or, you know, you're doing the segment part. And you were talking about, the control factor. You mentioned the control factor.
That's right.
And then you were talking about, you know, there's no such thing as rehabilitation now. It's like it's gone. There's no such thing as that no more. So these are some of the stuff I was remembering when you was with Star. I was like, wow, last. And you did it in April.
Yeah, last month.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
And
yeah,
I read your book.
Oh, you did?
I read your book. I'm an Amazon Prime member. So anytime anything comes on for Amazon Prime member, they'll ask you to, like, read a book and give your, you know, and stuff, you know, especially with Prime members, because I'm a Prime member, so, you know, so certain books come out, and I'm not a Kindle person. I don't like the handheld. I like the book itself.
That's right. That's right.
I like the
feel
of the cover. I'm not a Kindle.
Old
I don't like the Kindle in the middle. I got to feel the cover. Paper. I got to smell the
That's
paper
right.
and wake up, and the paper's all balled up under me, you know, better than me, I was reading all night. So that's what I like.
Yeah.
So,
I feel you. Listen, I feel you.
So that's how I am, and it was a good segment last month. And when you were talking about this, and about the, you know, about your situation and stuff that you went through, and trying to get these guys acclimated into the system, and like trying to get them when they come out, you know, what they, especially when you were talking about for them to vote, but you know how it's hard for them to vote, or they got these little things holding back to them because they can't vote, and stuff you were talking about in your last month. And I remember, because when I saw it up there, I said, I remember this guy. I said, he was on Star and Buck Wild last month. When I saw it up on a GQ, I said, he was on Star and Buck last month. I remember he was on Shop 97. And I read his book. So that's how I was going to take it home.
And listen, thank you a lot for the support, too. Anybody that support what I'm doing and acknowledges what I'm doing, those are the people that get it. And obviously you get it.
Oh, yeah, I get it, because you came across some parts where, so guys are incarcerated for a lengthy time that, you know, that's not even warranted, that crime, you know, that sentence. And then
exactly.
They are faced with this, you know, faced with this reality coming out of prison and still getting a hard time with the, and then that's the thing when you were talking about the injustice, you know, that's when you said that segment about that the injustice system. You used the injustice system.
Oh, no doubt. And
so
I use that same word a lot in the book too. I use that word
mm-hmm.
a lot of times in the book.
You do. You said it on the show. Yeah, you do use it a lot in the book. And then you
and
were talking
like,
about and then, go ahead. What about the one you were talking about, the control factor?
The control factor, like I said in that interview, it's just really, that's really what it's about, being able to control people and being able to tell them what to do for the rest of their life. If they possibly could, they would have it where though they could tell all of us what to do for our lives, which is what
mm-hmm.
the government is probably planning on doing right now. You know what I'm saying? But the legal system is a legal way for them.
Oh,
it's really,
money maker.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a new form of slavery, though, and our common
mm-hmm.
sense. You don't got to be a genius to say that. I mean, to understand, it's a new form of slavery. The girl Michelle Alexander said in her book, "It's a new form of that
Jim
Crow."
Oh yeah, her book is nice. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, her
she's
book
one
is
of
awesome
my. She's one of my inspirations. Her and
Jim Crow.
Her.
Yep.
That's right. But her and the Willie Lynch Syndrome was my inspiration.
You have to read those two books. You got to read, in order to understand everything, you got to read, those are the books you have to read in order for you to understand.
That's right.
You
That's
cannot
right.
understand unless you read those books.
That's right.
You can't, you got
to
read
in order
you
to get a better
that.
Understanding of it.
So if you get a better understanding, you got to read those two books and read them, and then read your books so you can get a better understanding. Even with Angela Davis, you know her fight. This is her biggest fight.
Yeah.
This is what
yeah,
Angela
I just,
Davis is fighting.
I saw her the other day.
Oh, she's fighting this big time. She's traveling the country right now. Talking about, she's big on prison systems because of what she had to
yeah.
go through. Oh man, she's big on this. And her people. She was just in Chicago, in Detroit. She just spoke and she was talking about all this about the penal system and all this. But this is her fight right here. Is this injustice and it's the government and how the prison and everything like that. But she's big on this right now. Angela Davis is something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, read her stuff.
And she should be,
yep.
because you know, and what's so funny is that, you know, she's coming to this event over in Trenton, New Jersey,
yes.
in a couple of weeks,
oh.
and a couple of my
yep.
friends invited me there.
Yep. Are you down in the Philly
probably,
area?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yep. Yep.
Most definitely.
Yep.
Yeah,
she is.
Coming to
she's
Trenton,
coming.
New Jersey, so I'll be there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Also,
but,
I mean,
what state are you calling from?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in Jersey? Okay. What part of Jersey?
I'm in West Orange.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, you know, we're gonna be coming through Jersey like crazy in the next couple of like 2 or 3 weeks during this it's called the New Jersey Juvenile Justice Commission. They're bringing us through New Jersey.
Okay, so it's gonna be down in Newark or in
yeah.
Okay.
Newark. We're gonna be in Trenton, Newark, T-Nex, Jersey
okay.
City, and areas like that. Yeah, they're putting the whole thing together. So,
oh,
so be on the lookout.
Okay.
So be on the lookout for me.
Oh yeah, I'll look out for that because I know Angela Davis because I follow her on Facebook and I follow her on just her other social activity activism that she's doing. So I just follow her because she and then Michelle Alexander, like she said, she came out and your book came out and it's like those are the books you have to read in order to understand what they're talking about. You have to read those books.
That's right.
And your book, and Michelle Alexander's book, it takes it to the pinch. And yours comes from an experience.
That's right. That's right.
So that's
when I
read that book, because it's from an experience. That's how your book comes from. It's you're telling a story, so it comes from a deeper version than what Michelle mm-hmm. Alexander's, because hers is not coming from an experience.
That's right. That's right.
Yours
they're,
is coming from an experience.
They're narrating
yep.
somebody else's
that's
experience.
That's all hers is doing. That's all hers is doing. She pinpoint her stuff from other sources and everything. Yours is coming from within you.
That's right. That's right. I mean, obviously, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's the difference that people see with the two differences in the book. It's not like, you know, somebody say, well, he wrote a book the same like Michelle. No, it's not the same. If somebody would say, well, he wrote something similar to like, no, it's not similar. It's not the same. He wrote his because of his experience. Michelle wrote hers because she did research.
That's right.
She pinpointed pieces together. So people got to know that.
I had to research certain things in my book, too, but most of mine was from living through it.
From living through it. That's the difference. Michelle did hers not from living through it.
Oh, no doubt, without question. Yeah, she never,
right.
She never set set foot inside of a prison unless she went,
exactly.
to, went to visit somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She didn't hurt by doing that. But yours comes
most
off
definitely.
When if somebody was to say, well, isn't it something like Michelle Alexander book or something like this? No, you got to read his book and you'll see by her book and you'll know the difference. That's the only
that's
way
right.
ever readers will know. And you got to read, even though it's all the same type and it's similar, the only way you're going to know if you read both of the books and then you'll see the difference. And then you can be like, oh,
right.
you can remember stuff that he wrote in his
by
book
what,
and stuff that Michelle wrote in her book. That's
right.
only what avid
well,
readers
yeah.
will understand.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so yeah.
I need Terrence to do. I need to give his information because I don't want to get cut off on the
okay.
day. I didn't realize Tom was so close. And I have more callers for him. And
I do, and I have more questions. And I got some weight. It's like a hill coming up from East Thorne. I mean, from East Thorne up to West Thorne. And I was trying
wow.
to get here
well,
earlier, but it's a, I'm in the woods, so it's like hard to call when you're in
well,
the woods.
Went,
it's like, oh,
hey, do me a favor. Like my page on Facebook. It's Terrence Tarkeem. Like my page on Facebook. Send me a friend request, and I'll keep you abreast of some of the when I'm gonna be in your area.
Okay. Yeah. Just let me know. You guys do another show because it's a lot of your book is a definitely intel book. If anybody that doesn't know somebody that's in the system and about guys that's finding like they they getting like in a man, it's like something like Malcolm said. Nobody knows about who you a man. You don't know a man that's been at the bottom. I've been at the bottom, and Malcolm X is a prime example of being at the bottom. And look what he wrote.
Exactly.
So that's the only way you got to know. Malcolm been to the bottom. He says I've been at the bottom. I've been at the lowest of the bottom. And look
exactly.
at him, one of the prolific speakers this country has ever seen.
Exactly.
So what I want you to do, Chance, I just want you to give all your information to everybody that's on the line right now. Let them know how they could get the book. Let them know where they could get it. Let them know everything.
Okay. You can pick it. Okay, once again, the book is called Guilty by Reason of Arrest by Terrence Tarkeem. My full name is spelled TerranceTarkeem. Terrence Tarkeem. You can like me on Facebook under my name and send me a friend request. I'll keep you abreast of my speaking engagements. You can go on also like the page. It's called Familiar Faces Against Incarceration. Please like that page on Facebook. It's once again, it's Familiar Faces Against Incarceration. Like that page. If you want me to come speak at any schools to any children, you can hit me up on my email address. It's D as in David, M as in Michael, Media Group, DM Media Group@yahoo.com. You can like me on like I said, once again on Facebook and those pages, and hit me on my email address, and I'll come speak to you. And you can get the book at Amazon.com. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on the Nook, or you can call any bookstore and give them the name of the book, and they'll order it for you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And once again,
wow.
It's called Guilty by Reason of Arrest.
Okay.
And for everybody who supported me, thank you for your support, and thank you. And I'm sorry I couldn't get to the other calls that he said he has a lot of more calls over there. I'm sorry we
yeah.
couldn't get to the rest of the calls, but obviously I think they're gonna have to have me come back again.
Oh, no question. We definitely gotta have you back again because I'm pretty sure Kia has more questions.
I do.
I didn't even get to ask what I wanted to ask.
I'm sorry, because his book
yeah.
is good, and because of the fight that Ansel Davis put and Michelle Alexander and him, you have to read the whole, and the Willie Lynch, you'll understand the whole concept about the black man and their fight against this. It's unbelievable what they were doing.
Let me say this. It's not just, listen to me, it's blacks, Hispanics, and it's poor whites.
Oh, you know,
right now, they're locking,
yeah.
they're locking up people because of economics right now. It's
of course,
it's crazy.
Yeah. The money thing, of course, yeah.
It's strictly about a dollar. But, hopefully, he'll have me back. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying the black man suffers more because of their, the fact that they, what they've been through, and they need the more, about that concept of that, about the voting.
Listen.
And about looked upon or being guilty about something.
That's,
and, they pay their debt to society, so, yeah.
Listen, the black man is always going to be the object of the legal system's affection.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to be the object of their affection. You know what I'm saying? So, but the fact that they focus on everybody right now is just ridiculous right now, because they're focusing on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about economics, because they're making money off of people being locked up right now. But
mm-hmm.
please, send me a friend request, because you're the kind of people who I want to come out to some of these events when I'm in your area. Send me a friend request on Facebook and or Twitter as well. It's the same thing. It's Terrence Tarkeem on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram as well.
Okay.
I'll keep up the good work. Maybe you're going to write another book?
Huh?
You're writing another book?
Well, no. Part two to that book is already ready. It's called Throwaway People. It's already ready, actually.
It's out now?
No. It's going to. Well, I'm promoting this one now. I'm not going to release that probably till December or January.
Okay, because it's not on Amazon yet.
No, it's not out right now. But it'll be out sometime in December or January. It's the sequel to that book. At the back of the book, if you read the back of it, you'll see the list of the next three books I got coming out.
Right. But I know you didn't have nothing out yet because it would Amazon would have said you had something, because even with their Prime member, they always announce that somebody got a new book coming out. You know, whatever, they haven't announced you have another book out. That's why we know you're writing another book.
No, well, it's done already. It'll be out sometime soon though, toward the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
But Terrence, you know I gotta have you back on. You know, the executive producer will definitely get in touch with you because I need you back on. You know, lines up. I can't get all the callers. Or nothing, because I don't want to get cut off in the middle of the show.
Listen, anytime, man, all you got to do is have your people call me, man. I spend all day long on these radio. I've been doing so many internet radio shows. I'm talking on the internet radio shows all day, every day. So all you got to do is have your people call me and let me know, and I'm there, man. It ain't nothing. Listen, whenever I get a chance to get this knowledge out, because the thing about it, most people do not have this knowledge. They just don't have it. Mm-hmm. And it's up to people like me who went through it the hard way to give it to them so they ain't got to go through what I went through.
Exactly. I have GQ Palace has 9 episodes. I also would like to have you on a Thursday episode. It's a totally different fan base and everything as well, too, because I think this is something a lot of people need to hear about. I'm pretty sure they heard about it already.
Thanks a lot, man. Listen, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't care. Just let me know. Like I said, I'm doing radio and TV stuff all the time, but I don't turn down no opportunity to talk about what they're doing to our community, and now more than ever, our women and children.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And like I said, I'm definitely going to get in touch, have my people get in touch with you, and we definitely going to have you on, and it's definitely an honor. So
sounds beautiful, man. Thanks a lot.
Call around next week.
Thanks a lot. Listen, just it don't make a difference. Just hit me up and I'm there.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, man. Y'all be good.
I'm Dawg the Divas. You too, Ty.
All right.
All right. That's it for tonight's episode. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank all the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, GQ Palace has, excuse me, I'm saying 9, 8 different episodes a week. Matter of fact, 9, yeah, because we got a new one coming on Sunday with Faith Walker. So make sure you look out for that. But Sunday from 7 to 9, Spiritual Sunday, we have Lavina Polite from 7 to 9. Like I said, bring you the most powerful evangelist, minister, author, pastors, and elders, reading the scriptures of the Bible and playing gospel music. You can also call in and give your testimony. It's a very powerful show, so make sure you tune in for that from 7 to 9. Also, from 7 to 9 on Mondays, we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas. Adult topic, no children, please, for Monday episode, Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas. Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9, Lavina Polite. Love, Life, and Loyalty, Steph Dallas, 7 to 9, Mondays. Tuesdays, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports, with the mayor from 8 to 10, bringing it to you how he stayed, hard body karate, bringing you a bigger picture. So make sure you tune in for that. Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad in the building, playing the hottest, old and new, slow jams and R&B, and discussing their grown and sexy topics from 7 to 9. Then right after the Diva Squad, from 9 to 10, we have Fallout Comedy with comedian Rakim Chick Singleton, bringing you the funny, hilarious things on the radio live. So make sure you tune in for that on Wednesday, 7 to 9, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, 9 to 10, Fallout Comedy with comedian Rakim Chick Singleton. Thursdays, we have Reality and Relationships with KL and Tiffany Belvin, speaking to you about relationships and what's going on in reality in this world today, and bring you the news. They have the Facebook couple going on as well. So make sure you tune in for that Thursdays, 8 to 10. Monday, you're back here with Rich Money. excuse me, Love Entertainment. I want to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. A happy Mother's Day to my boy. I'm pretty sure everybody know now Lavina is my baby. Happy birthday, Ma. I love you. I want to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day. My Aunt Misha, my Aunt Danny, my Aunt Barbara, everybody, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my sister as well. She got another one on the way. So happy birthday, T. Happy Mother's Day, T. Happy Mother's Day, Rachel. Happy Mother's Day, Tiffany. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here from us at GQ Palace. Right now, we heading out to the Hudson Cafe All-White Affair at the Swaggy Event. Boogie Black going to be in the building. Will Tracks, Mel Star is going down tonight. Don't forget, May 19th is going to be crazy. Nonstop Media, GQ Palace, Rough Rider, Coco Chanel, Desert Storm, Video City, Hot 97, all at Club Allure in Queens. Doors open at 7. Coco Chanel hosting on the first floor. Me, myself, Rich Money, hosting on the second floor. So make sure you come to that event. It's going to be bananas. I am the host, Rich Money. You have a safe and blessed weekend. We out. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure. I also got to give a special shout out to my mother-in-law, Ethel May. I didn't forget you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Walk from Reno to Stepson to the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm Rich Money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turn them back to water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationships, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I answer if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, nap, you're glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love Entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guck on that turnstile, untain it. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is a diva squad on the move. Rachel and TC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich Money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you